Hello and welcome to the Computerspiel Show. My name is Sean Bell and I'm joined by Matthew Murray.
Hello.
And James Farley.
Hello.
Oh.
I thought you'd go straight in. I thought you'd give us a little truce or something.
No, that's goodbye.
I thought it was only goodbye. I thought it was okay. Well,
yeah,
fuck that then, haven't I?
It's goodbye, isn't it? Yeah.
You should have said that anyway.
Yeah. This is, very this is on like brand. When people say namaste all the time.
Yeah.
And isn't it? It's a greeting, isn't it? So when people like finish a conversation with namaste, it doesn't actually make grammatical sense.
Yeah.
I thought it's just something people said after yoga.
Well, this is it. That's just what it's become. But actually, it's supposed to be a greeting, I think. But
interesting.
I haven't checked.
I didn't do German at school. It was either French or
did
German. I chose French, so. Didn't understand a word of your intro, Sean.
Oh, I'm sorry. Well, I'll run it through Google Translate later.
Yeah, I'll do it when it goes
on YouTube. You can see if that does it.
Oh, yeah, generate captions.
That'd be interesting. Yeah.
I mean, it was spot on. It was like absolutely.
Thank you.
I mean, I was confused for a second, like what was going on. I thought I was in a shop or something. You know, it was weird.
We're going to start the show. Oh, sorry, we've not actually said. Yeah, Dave's not here. Dave's having a couple of weeks off. But yeah, we're going to start the show with thanking our Patreon producers for this month. We've got Aaron Patrick, the QuickBooks chap, Simon Nelson, Jack Oven, Moomin Biscuit, Trans Rights to Human Rights, Dave Ernsberger, Colin Brown, Gasman, Happy Birthday Sam and Neil, Gabsy, Rocketman76, Rex Reese, Happy New Year Sam, Love from Neil, Grey Dragon Claw, Fred Fenge, Smooth Monkey, Happy Mother's Day Sam, Love from Dr. Farley Sexy Fan, and we've got a new full Nels, Don Whiskerando.
Yes!
Welcome.
That is
Are we
going
to talk about what they did or tried to do?
I think we have to, yeah.
So, excuse me. You may recall on the last episode, someone asked what James's price was to find out what he said on the bus that time. And James, thinking it was a ludicrous amount, said 500 quid.
Very silly boy.
Yeah. Little did he know how dedicated some of our listeners are. Don Whiskerando, which I assume is not their real name. They fucking did it.
They did. Like, we got an email, as we do when we get a new patron supporter, saying, you know, new patron, at the £500 tier. Like, what has someone done?
I thought, Matt, you'd launched another tier without telling us. And like,
it was tempting, but I didn't have to. Don made their own one.
We should say, just in case anyone's listening and getting excited, we gave him the money back because...
Straight away.
Yeah, because it felt wrong. And also because, I mean, surely, having spent 500 quid, the answer is only going to end in disappointment, right?
Yeah, definitely, absolutely, 100%.
No joke is worth £500.
I mean, I messaged him saying... Really appreciate it. It's really funny, but the price has gone up. It's going to be 1,000. It's great.
If you could find 500 that easy, then come on.
Sorry, we weren't clear. 500 per host. That's... Yeah.
It was incredibly kind and funny. And just for that, you know, that little moment of like, oh my God, someone's given us £500. Was weirdly magical, if a little bit stressful.
It's worth it for the hilarious email just to see someone do that. But we said thank you, very funny, but here's your money back.
Yeah.
But Don is now a Fallen Else member, so thank you, Don.
Yeah, much appreciated. They all went to patreon.com/TCGS, where you can go as well. You don't have to go full Nels. It's all right if you don't.
All the
£500 here. I mean, having had this conversation, I think maybe if someone else tries to do it, we have to accept it, right? I think that's
no, please.
Well,
don't.
I just think we should talk about it. There's other tiers. There's you can give us £500, or you can just give us £5 and you can get a bonus podcast, or you can give us £10-ish after local sales taxes and get. A special video feature of some sort. We're thinking, because Dave's off for a couple of weeks now, we were talking about doing Walkabout mini golf, but I think we've got a talks over in mind, haven't we, James?
We have, yeah.
I'm a bit anxious, to be honest.
Yeah, you see, I suggested this one, so this is going to be my fault, I think, when it inevitably goes.
He's backing down already, he's lost faith in it.
No, because I know, I do remember watching it, reasonably recently, and it being a bit uncomfortable in places, so I'm a bit worried about that. But yeah, it would be an interesting time capsule, I think.
I mean, you can tell us what it is, right? I know we haven't. Have we fixed a date? We haven't really, have we?
It is the Games Master Gore special, the one that was on, I think, was it midnight or whatever in the UK, like on Channel 4, like years ago? And then it was, I think it was repeated once or whatever, but yeah.
It's, and it's not just gore, is it? There's other vibes of adult content.
Yeah, they go into what they call the seedier side of the internet and all that kind of thing, which, you know, yeah, exactly.
Well, cool. That's going to be interesting. It'd be fun to see which bits were okay to sort of laugh at in a "God, I can't believe they did that" way, and which bits just make us genuinely uncomfortable.
Well, I mean, I can't believe the sponsor they got. The whole thing is sponsored by a Kasumi Ninja on the Jaguar, which was a terrible game.
It's, I was going to say, yeah. Cool. And obviously, this is episode 301. So thank you so much to everyone who watched episode 300 live. Obviously we got like a shitload of subs and stuff on Twitch. It was amazing. Everyone was really generous and kind.
Yeah, it was awesome.
That was so much fun to do. Yeah, we really enjoyed doing that. TCGS cons tickets are still on sale if you want to come and play Laser Quest with us in July. Go to tcgs.co/TCGScon. There's like, what, 8 tickets left now, something like
we
that.
We had our first big meeting about it, didn't we, over the weekend?
We did. Little production/logistics meeting.
Plans are in place.
I confirmed that we've got roof access for reasons that will become clear later.
All sorts are happening. I mean,
did the green room get sorted out in the end?
Oh, yeah. We didn't give him our rider, did we?
No.
I want a big fucking bowl of jelly beans.
I mean, that can be sorted.
That's it, actually. That's the end of the list.
I want Pombear.
Pombear's good, man.
Yeah. You can get him in Tesco, James. What kind of rider's that?
Yeah,
this is a bit of a... No, but just Matt. Just like an opposite situation. A massive bowl of them. You know?
Oh, okay. I didn't think about that.
You know, about 7 or 8 packets worth of like the big packets.
I didn't think about buying a multi-pack.
I think we should demand a gamer table each. Do I need to bring the gamer table on stage when we do the show?
I think people just demand to see it. That's arguably the highlight of the
every
con.
And I'll just pick it up and I'll tilt it around and be like, see, the drink stays perfectly in position. It's fine.
And hopefully the drink falls out and smashes and we're like, oh,
that would
sorry.
Be, yeah, that'd
doesn't
be
quite ideal. Work could it, as expected.
Could I put a shot glass in the gamer table?
Yeah, 100%.
Brilliant.
Right, feedback, Matt. Did we get any?
We did. We got a fair bit, actually. We're going to start with Garrison Savannah. Wanted to say thanks to Sean for bigging up Citizen Sleeper. I trust the range of opinions you guys have, so a recommendation is usually enough for me to at least look at something. Started playing this on Friday evening, and after many just one more cycle moments, went to bed eventually at 6 a.m. on Saturday. I was then raging as I couldn't then play later on Saturday due to the Xbox network issues, and finally finished it off on Sunday. Planning on doing another playthrough on PC soon to get some of the endings I missed, so safe to say it's a good recommendation there. Thanks again, and keep up the great work.
Oh, amazing. I'm glad you enjoyed it. I mean, you don't necessarily... I mean, we did talk about this last week. You don't necessarily need to do a separate playthrough to get the other endings. But, I mean, it's entirely up to you, really. I enjoyed doing another playthrough.
Yeah, I mean, for me, there were some I failed early doors that I couldn't go back to. But by the time I was at the end, I had like 3 or 4 at my disposal. But it probably depends.
Yeah. Have you not played any of this yet, have you, James? Or not? No more than...
No, I own it, but I'm not playing it. Do you know, I'm at the moment, I'm doing something really stupid with my time.
Okay.
Which, no, it's... No, because it's like... Yeah. I don't know why I'm still playing this game, because... I went back to Great Ace Attorney. And this should be for what you've been playing, but I don't want to talk about it in what you've been playing, because
that's fine. That's all
I don't
right.
want to talk about it. But you see, I went back to that, and I've been playing it for over 30 hours, and I'm on the second game, and it's still... I don't like it. But because I'm really close, I'm kind of close to the end now, I kind of feel like... I know this is something wrong with my brain, but I just feel like I need to see it through, you know, to the end. But it's just so annoying.
Yeah.
It's just so annoying, because every... Thing. like single, like the dialogue in it, honestly, they use, every time they use about 15 words when you could use three, like for everything. And it's just, mm-hmm. it's ridiculous just how long and how drawn out everything is. But then, you see, this is what annoys me. Like 30 hours in, and then suddenly there's a spark of something which is actually really interesting and really good. But then it's still locked behind this dialogue as well, which just goes on forever. And yeah, I don't know. I just want to finish it so then I can play something else, which I know I could just stop playing.
You
can
just
it
do anyway.
And play. I know I can do that, but I
you
can't, Sean. It's just, I just want to finish it. It's annoying. It's just,
I was hoping you were going to talk about Citizen Sleeper this week. I want to do some more talk about that.
Yeah, man. I will play it.
Obviously, as a big sci-fi guy, I think I'll have a lot to say about it as well.
Mm. Yeah, I started.
Never mind.
No, maybe next week. I'm still playing Ace Attorney. Sorry.
Okay. That's all right. It's fine.
But the way you started that conversation, James, I was really worried you said that you'd started Pokemon Legends Arceus again. Because I just want to feel something.
I've tapped out on that. I'm at the, you know, I'm in the post-game stuff.
Yeah.
And I'm not bothered.
It's quite a slog. That's
like, right, now let's catch them all. And I'm just like, yeah, but why? Yeah. What for? I don't know.
And a lot of them are, and some of them are really irritating as well to get, like super irritating. And that's why I ended up spending about an extra 40 hours on that when I need. Is it, again, why am I wasting my life like doing
this?
I don't understand. It's just, I get things stuck in my head and I can't stop like doing it. I don't know what it is.
You could be playing Elden Ring.
I could, although I'm playing.
Or Sleeper.
Or Citizen Sleeper.
Although I'm playing Cyberpunk now. So it's fine. Kind of.
What's next on the feedback?
Yes. Neil Arrowsmith, a dear TCGS, having watched your 300th show live, I have a newfound respect for your staying power. For the record, I fell asleep about 2/3 of the way through the news. Appreciate y'all from Neil.
I mean, that's harsh.
Don't know if you do appreciate us.
Yeah, I don't think you appreciate us anywhere near enough, Neil.
That hurts.
I mean, it is. Doing it on camera is weirdly exhausting, I find. Is anyone else the same?
Absolutely.
Yeah, it was definitely different last week.
But it was really good fun. I do feel like the visual element, because we tried to do a bit more with it being like visual on Twitch and stuff, but in a way that wouldn't like pollute the main show at the same time. I think it was really good fun. Really like that.
Yeah, I think it's great what you did because. Yeah, we had like the footage of say Citizen Sleep in the background. We had like the news on the screen as James was reading it. So I think that was great.
When James started going off on tangents, everyone would just read the news in their own time. And then
do you know what I hate the most about doing it though, like on video, is that I look at David and I can see, I know when he's looking at me, like on the on the camera, and then I have to keep concentrating and thinking I can't do any faces or anything stupid because then he's just going to take the piss. So it's much more tiring, I find, with that.
Yeah.
I have to police
it's like
my face.
It's like meetings at work, isn't it? Like, you know when no one's looking at you.
Mm.
But when it's on Teams or Zoom or whatever, it's like, well, anyone could be looking at me at any point.
Yeah.
Not that I'm going to start, like, picking my nose or anything, but I can rest. Do you know what I mean? No, and I'm not being observed.
Yeah. But it's kind of odd how normalised that is now. I mean, I was having a few video calls here and there before, but then we've had COVID, and now it's just, we have a video call. Whereas before, we'd be like, why would you want a video call? Why do we need to see each other? But
I think my favorite thing about that sort of being normalized is you now don't get people, if you have a video call with someone for the first time, there's none of that, like, nice to meet you, in inverted commas. It's like, that's just how people meet now.
I do also find it weird now, like making phone calls without being able to see the other person.
Yeah. Yeah, I know what you mean.
It's a bit odd.
So, well,
you know,
are you hiding?
Mm-hmm. Oh, no.
But, yeah.
Yeah, why isn't your camera on?
Yeah. Well, I am supportive. I do think we should normalise people turning their cameras off just because they don't want to be seen for 10 minutes.
I think that's pretty fair, actually, yeah.
Yeah. But anyway.
What we should normalise is people that have webcams with like Vaseline's on them. It's like, come on, it's been 2 years.
I've got a lovely 720p, like camera here. You know,
it's not a resolution.
It's all you need.
I can handle low resolution. It's just, come on. Come on. Anyway, Tiny Tim, re-Switch Sports. Dear sirs, I don't mean to contradict my elders, but as a 12-year-old footballer, I can say with experience that flying is definitely part of the sport. That's how we keep the grass on the pitch so pristine. Love the show.
I mean, it makes sense. Yeah. Makes sense. Like, the amount of effort that goes into, you know, keeping those pitches. Why would you want people running around on them?
Yeah, I mean, basically the grounds people must insist on, you know, flying only, because we're not, yeah. You know, why would you wreck this?
Spent a long time making the grass look nice, painting all the lines. I actually know someone who became, what is the proper term for the guy who paints the lines?
It's the groundskeeper, isn't it?
Is that the groundskeeper?
Yeah, groundskeeper, I don't know.
I know, it's one of those things, because, like, it's absolutely fine that he does that. But, like, when we were growing up, it was like, he's going to be a footballer. Like, he's an absolute fucking star. Like, he's definitely going to be a footballer. So then the fact that he just ended up being a groundskeeper seems a little bit sad.
I know.
Yeah, but he's still there.
A big contribution.
Exactly. He's still in the same area. He's just not the one kicking the balls. Like,
it's just, I don't know, just to me, that, like, that's what I mean. And in and of itself, I think it's fine to have that job. It was just the fact that everyone's like, no, he's going to be this international superstar footballer. But he now just does the lines.
Okay, I know what it is. It's actually called an athletic field painter.
Is it?
Yeah.
Wow, okay. Maybe he doesn't just do football then.
There's also football field painter.
Right.
And field lining.
Have you looked this up on
Indeed? On Google, yeah. I'll just have a look, yeah.
Okay, Hakon Lingstad, was really happy to hear you shout out Rhythm Paradise on that recent episode. It made me get both my Game Boy Micro and 3DS out. Not only have I been playing the original on the Micro and Megamix on the 3DS, I've also dusted off other 3DS-era Rhythm action games. Elite Beat Agents and Awendan, Jam with the Band, Rhythm Thief, and the cursed DS version of Guitar Hero with the funky peripheral. Had to dig out the DS Lite for that one. Binging on all these great and goodish games has really made it obvious that no one is creating games in the genre anymore. Even though big developers aren't doing them, I would imagine the genre being up for grabs for indies. Just have a look at Sayonara Wild Hearts. Oh well, tapping my feet to the beat, Hakon Lingstad.
Yeah, I mean, there's definitely been some indie stuff, right? There was... what was it? The one that there was an indie version... Well, it was an indie game, and then there was a Zelda version of it. The thingy of the Neck.
Yeah, it was
Dancer.
The Cadence of Hyrule.
Really like that.
Yeah, it was good.
Let's probably still check that out. There was... is it Just Shapes and Beats? Which is apparently really good. There was the one, I mean, we'll get onto it in the news, but there was the one that was announced at the Nintendo Direct last week, or, you know, it was Indie World. There's still stuff going on, but yeah, it's not the genre's not what it used to be, is it? And like we were saying the other week, I would absolutely take just like another Rhythm Paradise. Because even though, you know, they did the Mega Mix one, which felt like a, you know, end of an era, best of thing. I think there's still stuff to be done there. I don't think it's like, you know, sometimes when like an anthology comes out and you're like, yeah, do you know what? Fair enough. Like, the, you know, this series had a good run and it's nice to sort of put a lid on it now. I was just like, no, I want more. Like, I'd never want this to end. So, yeah.
What happened to the team behind Awendan and Elite Beat Agents? I know they'll play separate teams, but...
No, they went on to do the fucking Black Eyed Peas game.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Because would love Awendan on Switch.
And then, what happened to them?
Yeah. After they released that huge title, then what?
Didn't they try to do a Kickstarter for... Shit, what was it? I can't remember. They wanted to do like a new rhythm game, and I don't think it went anywhere, sadly. And
It's Innes, isn't it? Is the company
Innes? Yeah.
That's a shame. Because the last one they had, I was just having a look. It's Project Rap Rabbit, which that got cancelled.
Yeah, never went anywhere, sadly. But yeah, but the Black Eyed Peas experience. I mean, I'm saying that I don't like the Black Eyed Peas, but I didn't like. Yeah, you know, most of the songs on Elite Beat Agents. It's still a great rhythm action game. Maybe I would really like the Black Eyed Peas experience.
Mm.
I mean, if it's got some of the stuff from before Fergie joined, they used to be good. So maybe that's
I didn't listen to them before Fergie got there. Oh, and then I promptly stopped after Fergie got there. I would love a Wendown on Switch and a Libby Agent. That'd be amazing.
That'd be doable. Would it be doable?
Like, yeah, is the Switch touchscreen as responsive? I mean, it is as responsive as other screens, and almost certainly is.
I don't know if you could. It wouldn't be the same with your finger,
it's,
right?
You'd it's need not the same. Yeah, you need to like, have some sort of the tactile feel, you know, that you got from, I mean, scratching your, you know, DS screen pieces with it, because that was the thing.
The fuck out of it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But also the stylus is no good anyway, like, for that kind of game, because, you know, like, any stylus that you use on one of those screens, it's, like, got a soft nib, isn't it?
Yes. Yeah.
And so that just wouldn't work.
Of course, you know, because like it's this. A capacitive... Yeah. Touchscreen rather than a resistive one. Yeah, the Wii U could do it. Get on the Wii U, mate.
Yeah,
best console in the world.
I think these games will come back in some regards, but it feels like a long way away at the moment.
Yeah, totally.
Shame. That is it for feedback. Go to tcgs.co/dearTCGS to leave your feedback or a message in a week, whatever you want. You know what I mean?
James, I haven't done it. I haven't done a news intro. I'm sorry. I was like. 10 minutes before, I was like, "Oh, I should do something. I should do something about Eurovision," but I can't. I can't think of anything to do with Eurovision. Did you all watch Eurovision?
No,
I've never watched Eurovision.
Oh my god,
I avoid it every year. I mean, I used to watch it years ago, and I don't like it very much. it's just not my thing. You know, it's not my thing. I mean, Chen watches it with the kids; they all love it.
Yeah,
and I just sit in, and I just sat there and played Cyberpunk all evening.
Sit in a separate room.
Yeah.
I mean, this feels like the year to watch it. I mean, was it Sam Ryder? Was that
his name? Yeah, man.
Yeah, I mean,
he smashed it.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, previous year 0 points, and we were second. And but yeah, it's basically the perfect result for Ukraine to win, us to come second. I think Sam's song won like best song from from his peers. I think so.
From the actual. Yeah, the jurors, like we were winning on like the jurors' votes, and then it was the public votes. Sent Ukraine into number one, which is fair enough. Like it would have felt incredibly shit to steal.
Oh my god, no! This is the perfect
Ukraine.
Result.
But yeah, holy shit, that was because we just put it on just like it's a bit of a laugh, and then obviously halfway through the scoring, we were just like, "What the fuck? Everyone's giving us points. This never happens. What is going on? Brexit is behind us. We're healing."
It's like, have they forgotten who they're voting for?
It was absolutely wild. Anyway, so what's the computer game news instead? Sorry.
A story to go with this wouldn't probably be great. I mean, so PlayStation staff have criticised, everyone has really criticised Jim Ryan for the message that he sent out about abortion rights. So,
oh, God, yes.
Yeah.
Saw this.
So he sent out an email to staff members where he said this. He said, "We owe it to each other and to PlayStation's millions of users to respect differences of opinion among everyone in our internal and external communities. Respect does not equal agreement, but it is fundamental to who we are as a company and as a valued global brand." But then, I mean, this was, you know, this is gross and all that kind of thing. But then also... he then spent the rest of the message discussing his pets for some reason, which, as people said, like this really trivialised like the whole thing, which was dreadful. I mean, I'm not going to read what he said because it's just I don't know why you would say this at all. Like,
wasn't
over an issue.
He was talking about his cats, and then didn't he started talking about dogs? But then it turned out he doesn't actually have a dog.
Yeah,
but like he's saying, our dogs are brilliant because they're obedient. Which is a very strange
it's just
thing.
Really odd. And it's like, you know, such a serious issue, which is, you know, really, it's just, I can't believe that someone, And, but I mean, now things have been rolled, like sort of, they're trying to roll things back a bit now where like Sony and Insomniac are now, Insomniac began by making a donation of $50,000 to the Women's Reproductive Rights Assistance Project. Mm-hmm. And then Sony have said that now they'll match that as well. But
pretty gross. I mean, because I know the other week there was like, you know, stuff going around saying, so, you know, like Bungie had put a statement out, you know, being firmly pro-choice.
Bungie was the only one really who
made
a statement for a week.
That's what I'm saying. For that first week, there was stuff going around being like, why have only Bungie spoken out about this? This is pretty bad. And then and then more people followed suit, but then Jim Ryan, you could have just said nothing, mate.
Yeah,
that would have been,
it's just
marginally better. Really, really weird.
But at least, you know, there's, I mean, this doesn't make up for it, but at least, you know, they've made some donation. It's, you know, this money's going somewhere.
Yeah. But I feel like they should probably say something as well.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Money's good. But him sort of explaining that he's realised why that was a dumb thing to say would be nice.
Definitely.
So it was a terrible, dumb, ridiculous thing to say. But I mean, like, how did this just go get how was it released? Like, this must surely must go through like various other levels of approval. I know he's like the top dog and everything, but there'll still be other people just going through this and make sure it sounds as good as it needs to. But
go on, sorry.
I just don't understand how enough people saw this and thought this is a good thing to say.
Yeah, like the organization I work for, we get like, oh, here's your weekly message from the CEO. And it's like, well, they didn't write this themselves, did they? This has gone through, like you say, it's just like a team has, you know, liaised with them about it. Oh, is this, what do you want to say this week? Okay, we'll go away and write that. Maybe Jim Ryan has a more direct relationship with his employees and perhaps he shouldn't.
Sometimes CEOs do say crazy things.
And other people just have to, you know. Just have to roll with it. I wonder if there was actually a lot of feedback, pushback internally, but it's absolutely stupid, ridiculous thing to say.
Yeah.
My God. They've made this donation to try and, I don't know, sweep under the carpet or whatever, but no statement alongside it.
Yeah. Exactly. It's like we need to see that there was some actual learning by Jim Ryan, I think, on this. But yeah, it's not an issue not that you good, can try good. And both sides it, really. It's
No, absolutely not. Fuck's sake.
All right, what's next?
Okay, so Xbox have said that they... Phil Spencer has said that we must work to better meet expectations. And so this is after they've now delayed Starfield and Redfall until next year instead. So they said... Phil Spencer said, "While I fully support giving teams to release these great games when they are ready, we hear the feedback. Delivering quality and consistency is expected. We will continue to work to better meet those expectations." And so basically, I guess a lot of people were not very pleased that these have been delayed. But I didn't actually know they were coming out this year anyway.
I in terms of meeting expectations, my expectations are that everything's getting delayed all the time.
Yeah, exactly. Especially Starfield. You look at Starfield and you just think that's like that looks to be a seriously enormous project. Yeah. And they didn't announce it like not that long ago. And I just thought
year. To be fair, technically they announced it like a few years back. But yeah, like we've seen so little of it, which, all right, maybe they're just playing it close to their chest. But generally speaking, if we don't see much of a game, it's usually because there's not much to show that's worth showing yet.
Felt like it's always kind of on the cards. I mean, I can't believe the game we have seen very little gameplay of that's going to come out in 5 months' time is being delayed. That's a shocker to me. It looked like this was going to happen because we've had one trailer with some kind of gameplay in it.
Stuff, but that was kind of it, wasn't it? It wasn't really.
Yeah, but we've seen nothing kind of proper in game. So this is always going to be the case. And like other games, like, I mean, God of War is meant to be this year. I can fully see that getting delayed as well.
Yeah, I think that's
because we've seen basically none of that either.
Yeah, I mean, Redfall, I must admit, I didn't know that was this year. I do know Starfield was because they had the whole, you know, like 11/22 date.
Yeah.
That's probably why they wanted to release it then, because it was a cool date to release it on. But Redfall, I wasn't aware that was this year. But yeah, it's not a shock. And as always, obviously, we would all rather it was delayed, so it actually meant for a better game. I mean, Bethesda's games aren't exactly known for their kind of solid launch.
No, that's true.
It launches anyway, and this seems like a massive project. And they
know what's going to happen, don't you? We're going to end up March 2023 with like everything coming out again.
Yeah, all the stuff that was supposed to be out for like holiday 2022.
Yeah,
it's all going to get shoved back.
People have been complaining because they're just saying like, you know, what have Microsoft got now for like the rest of the year? But I don't think that really matters.
Netflix?
There'll be low... this thing that they're, you know, this E3 showcase they're going to do, I'm sure they'll fill the gaps here. I mean, I've already heard today that they're doing a Gears of War, like, you know, collection. Okay. Yeah, that's
Master Chief collection for Gears.
That's going to be coming. And I'm sure there'll be like a whole bunch of like games and things like that. I mean, I don't think this is a disaster.
Honestly. Well, this is it. And if you know, and I've seen people who should know better doing the whole, oh, well, the fucking what games are even coming out this year then? The answer being, there will be loads. You just need to look a bit broader. Like, yeah, like, you know, obviously if you're looking forward to Starfield, etc., you know, as like Christmas games or whatever, then yeah, this is bad news, I guess. But there will be plenty of things to play. Like, yeah. It's going to be fine.
Yeah, but in terms of big hitters on Xbox.
Yeah, but then probably say the same for PlayStation, right? What have they got for Christmas?
Yeah, I mean, currently God of War.
Yeah.
Like I said, I think that's probably going to slip, but yeah. Who knows?
We don't know, do we? There's been so little. Like, I mean, also from Nintendo as well. Like, we don't. Yeah. We've got an idea, but we don't know what their big Christmas, you know, thing's going to be or anything like that, really. You know,
that's true. Cause, yeah, obviously Breath of the Wild 2 already slipped.
Yeah. Again, it's going to come out in March next year, isn't it? Everything's going to come out in March next year, and it's going to be awful. You know, and it's, I don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I heard this and I was like, I mean, again, I was probably one of those people Sean you just referred to. I was like, well, what the fuck have they got? I mean, this was the biggie and this was on shaky
ground.
Yeah, like,
in terms of like, yeah, sort of tentpole, like, here's why you should have an Xbox in 2022 releases. Like, yeah, I mean, it's fine to say that, you know, things are looking pretty sparse. I just like, if you enjoy playing video games and you're worried that like you will literally run out of things to play, I think that's unreasonable. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I mean, well, I don't think we're there, but yeah, if no. I think about, okay, where are these big Xbox exclusives that I bought my Series X for? I mean, I've had a wonderful time with Series X. It's still my main console, but I've played an awful lot of indie games on there.
Yeah.
And I'm still kind of waiting for that big bang. And
yeah, and especially like, because obviously, you know, season 2 of Halo has landed and no one seems to care.
But you see, that's a game that would have benefited from being delayed as well. Like,
and maybe this
probably
is,
shouldn't have.
Maybe we're now seeing the lessons learned from that. Maybe that's why they're more all right with the idea of delaying Starfield, Redfall, or whatever else, because they've seen how it's messed with Halo. And because Halo's not a bad game. It's not a bad game at all.
No, I mean, I think it's an excellent game.
No, the campaign was great. I loved it. It was, you know, but I mean, in terms of PlayStation stuff, I just had a look. I mean, they've got this year, they've got Forspoken, which is that Square Enix one, apparently, which is coming.
Oh, yeah.
And God of War Ragnarok. That's it. I mean, and cool. That's not going to come out, is it? Like, I'd be quite surprised if it does.
Yeah.
Because we've just heard so little.
Yeah.
I mean, I only recently, Corey, is it? Well, no, what's it? I can't remember what his surname is.
Barlog.
Yeah, Barlog. Recently, they confirmed it is coming out this year.
Okay.
But it's easier to do that now and then have a delay later. But
Yeah,
we haven't seen much of that. But no, it's a shame because I'm still kind of waiting for these big kind of Xbox exclusives. And yes, James, you said, you know, they go to a showcase at E3 and they'll probably say, here's some things that are coming out. But I anticipate we're going to see lots of big things, but they'll be out next year, not this year.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah. It's possible. I mean, if you look at the stuff that's come out on PlayStation this year, they have actually had quite a few games that have come out that have been like pretty big ones. Like, you know, you've had like Gran Turismo 7, Horizon Forbidden West. I mean, I have problems with that, but it's still...
I was going to say.
You know, it's still like a big hitter. Like,
yeah.
Like,
yeah, PlayStation's had loads of big hits. It's had... a fairly nice number of big hits since it came out with, I mean, I can't name them all, but there's a bunch. I mean, like Ratchet & Clank, obviously they had like a decent number at launch with Miles Morales and other stuff, but it feels like I'm still kind of waiting for the Xbox one. I mean, I guess that's maybe unfair. We had Forza Horizon 5 on Xbox, which was amazing.
Yep.
But the thing is with Game Pass and stuff, they do just keep things ticking over, though, with regularly, like, even just smaller stuff, you know, like Tunic came out and things like that, which are really good. Like, I've not played it yet, but I've heard it's, like, very good as well. Mm-hmm. And that's what I'm missing from Sony, though, is stuff like that, like some of the indie stuff, which they just don't seem interested in anymore, which is a shame.
But that's why I feel like, you know, and I know I'm in like a privileged position because I've got both consoles, but that's where like they're both coming to their own. I mean, I feel like, I mean, I guess I've known this for a while, but I know that my PlayStation is for the big kind of Sony exclusives and Xbox is absolutely for the indies and Game Pass and stuff. So yeah. I think I can cover them both parts there because Game Pass is covering the indie side. And it does feel like Microsoft aren't really doing the big hitters. Not only because I guess these have been delayed, but obviously, Microsoft's big hits are not on the same level as the ones on PlayStation by any stretch of the imagination. And maybe that'll change in the future, or maybe won't. Who knows? But I go to Sony and PlayStation for the big blockbuster games and everything else on Xbox, really.
Mm.
But it is a shame when these games, which feel like their big tentpole releases, are delayed and we're still kind of waiting for a big bang.
Well, I've got a big bang for you because Sony have revealed their game lineup and launch dates for the PlayStation Plus relaunch.
Oh, my God.
I'm excited for this.
Right. So, I don't know how to approach this because I'm not reading out a massive list of games.
No, that's just ridiculous. Just read, you know, just read out some of the stuff that's been listed in the piece you're reading.
Okay, so
some of the
we've
big
got,
hitters.
They are adding some stuff, like they've added Assassin's Creed Valhalla and the Demon's Souls remake and the Insomniac Spider-Man games, Red Dead Redemption 2 and other games like that are being added to the service for people. I think it's for the second level up one, isn't it? The premium tier. Are getting those.
No. So premium is the top tier. So it's essential, which is the bottom one, which is basically like PS Plus. Yeah. Extra, which is the one above that. And
that's
premium
the one,
is
the
top one.
Yeah, so they're getting like some of that stuff. But then also they've announced like some of the classic games, as they say, that they're getting, that are being included. These are also in the extra tier as well, yeah? Is that right?
Or is the middle extra tier has got like a bunch of like this growing library, if that's what you're talking about. But yeah. The classic kind of PS1, 2, and 3, that's only on the top one.
look, just quick, right, I'm not saying that the Microsoft Game Pass stuff is good, right? Because I know people get confused between games, you know, like Xbox Live Gold and Game Pass and Game Pass Ultimate and blah, blah, blah. But, I mean, this doesn't sound much better, does it?
No, not really. So there's the PS4 and PS5 game catalogue, and that you get that with the extra and premium tiers. So that's basically they've listed a huge load of games that are for like PS4. Basically, they're all just PS4 games with a couple of PS5 games like thrown in as well. But it's basically like all their first party stuff from the last generation of kind of on there. And then there's also some third party partner games as well, which are things like Assassin's Creed Valhalla, as I said, and Control, and you know, stuff like that. Resident Evil. I don't know why that, because that's really old. And then
Red Dead 2 is on that. Hollow Knight's on that. So and there's some good titles on there.
There are. Also, Guardians of the Galaxy. I mean, that's great.
Yeah.
I definitely would recommend that.
Game Pass.
It's
on Game Pass.
And then they got the classic game catalogue, which is, as Matt said, it's the premium stuff. So this is where they've got the original PlayStation and PSP, and then also some third-party ones, and then remasters as well. And there's also these original PS3 games that are coming via streaming. Now, what's disappointing about this is the list that they've already released. First of all, the classic games catalogue stuff, it's all mostly sort of Sony first-party stuff from, like, quite a while ago.
So stuff that doesn't have to bother arsing around to pay royalties and stuff.
Yeah, and there's very few, like, third-party partner stuff. And the third-party partner stuff is stuff like the Lego Harry Potter collection. I mean, I'm sure it's great, but it's not really something I'm terribly interested in.
Yeah.
And then they've got the PS3 games, which are all only streaming ones. Now, what's irritating about this is if you look at like the PS3 games that are available, it's all mostly Sony first-party stuff, and the third-party partners, there's how many games on there? There's like 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. There's like eight games on here. Now, this is significantly worse now than PlayStation Now. Like, significantly worse. Like, the catalogue there was much, much bigger than this. And there was things like Metal Gear Solid 4 and stuff, which are all gone, you know, from this now. And presumably because they're trying to renegotiate the licenses or whatever, but almost certainly it's because they want to drip feed all this out, like, over time, so that every month they can say, we've added X number of games to this. But it's still a bit strange that you're taking a service which not that many people probably used, but then had a massive catalogue, removing that catalogue and then saying, okay, now you need to pay some, you know, extra money or whatever to access less stuff. It doesn't make any sense.
Yeah. I mean, I'm looking at the list, just scanning for stuff I would actually like to revisit. I mean, Tokyo Jungle's on there. It's criminal that hasn't had a port or a remaster, because that was a very weird and funny game. Lost Planet 2, I think I'm the only person who liked it. But it's a classic as far as I'm concerned. That's on there. I mean, other than that, I mean, I'm not saying they're the only good games. I don't know, in terms of stuff that's like genuinely hard to get hold of or play these days, or that we haven't had, you know, like a similar version of on a later platform. I don't know, there's
not. And that's the thing. There's nothing wrong with the games they've got here. Like, there's some really good games here. Like, a really, really good list. Mm-hmm. But what I still feel that I'm missing from this, which is maybe just me, is why is there not, like, some indie games and stuff like that on here? Like, why haven't they got, like, a section for that? Yeah. You know, for some new stuff. Because this is all old stuff. All of this stuff is old. And that is mm-hmm. one of the things that Microsoft have done really well with Game Pass. You know, mm-hmm. the fact that there is a pretty, like, rapid turnover of new, just, like, indie games and stuff like that. And I think it's just a shame that they're doing it this way.
But yeah, I've seen a lot of people criticise this game list, and I think it is the right thing to say that, yeah, there are loads of really great games in here. There's just obviously nothing new. So if you want to play old games from, you know, PS1, 2, 3, PSP, PS4, then yeah, there's plenty here to get your teeth stuck into. I mean, but for me, I look at this and I think, well, there's nothing. Yeah, I don't really want to be playing old games. I want to be playing some new stuff, and I know Sony aren't going to put PS5 day one first party titles on there. I get that, but yeah, I mean, indies or weird other titles, that's the kind of thing that would kind of excite me, make me want to pay for the service. I think when this was first announced, I said, yeah, I'll probably just buy a year premium and see what's about. But I see this and I think there's just no need for me to do that whatsoever.
It should, like,
absolutely no need. I mean, yes, I could. There's some stuff here I could play, but nothing that makes me want to actually put my hand in my pocket and pay £100 a year for these old games, personally. I mean, yeah. I'm sure, like I said, there'll be loads of people. I think this is amazing. There are so many good games here, so many things I can really get my teeth stuck into and enjoy. And there's you know, thousands of hours of gameplay from first-party and third-party titles on here. So if that's what you're into, amazing. Me, personally, right now there's just nothing. And I think what you're saying is interesting, James, about are they going to take months and potentially years to build back up to that same library that was there only a month or two ago to build back up to what they had on PS Now.
I just, in terms of the retro stuff, I feel like if you're the sort of person who, like, really wants to revisit, like, you know, like PS1, PS2 stuff, PSP, etc., by now, you've probably already sussed out an emulation setup. And I'm not saying, like, it's fair to compare, like, a paid service to that. I'm just saying that that's the reality of it. Like, if this was like, oh, yeah, you know, you can pay this extra amount for the retro stuff. And it was like, do you know what? Fair play. You open up the retro stuff and it's like a fucking treasure trove. Like, oh my God, look, there's like fucking 200 games here or whatever, spanning, you know, three generations. Like, that would be so cool. And I'm not saying that's easy, because, you know, I was joking before about royalties, but, like, obviously the negotiations have to take place. Contracts need signing. People need paying. But it's, yeah, I just feel like this isn't enough for, like, retro enthusiasts to get their teeth into. Do you know what I mean?
No, especially because a lot of these ones that they're calling remasters, you know, that are basically PS2 games that have been, like, up-resed or whatever, you know, all the things like the Jack and Daxter trilogy and all that kind of stuff. People, you could already buy those. Like, they were already available on the on the store, and a lot of people probably have bought those. The thing that I was interested in is the idea of the cloud gaming aspect with this as well. Mm-hmm. You know, the fact that they're saying that, you know, stuff that's in your library, you can stream through, like, through the service. But the thing is, as I was saying before we started recording this, that's not available on anything apart from PC, and if you play it through your PlayStation 4 or PlayStation 5. Right. And to me, that makes the whole idea of it being, like, you know, an accessible, you know, cloud gaming sort of thing completely almost pointless, really. Yeah. Like, why would I want to stream a game through my PS5 when I can just download it or whatever? I want to have access on my iPad or something, or, you know, on my computer at work. You know, that's not at work. I would never do that. That kind of thing.
No, officially.
Absolutely grassed yourself up there. Yeah, but yeah.
Wouldn't do that. Or on your phone.
I know what you mean. Like, I haven't used, like, xCloud stuff loads. The only time I've used it on the telly was for the Paw Patrol game, because it means I can let Isaac play it without,
obviously,
without it taking up valuable hard drive space. Plus, it doesn't matter if it looks a bit bad because of the streaming quality. But the phone stuff I've done a bit, because it's been nice, like, especially for indie stuff. I've played a lot of Dicey Dungeons on the phone, because, again, you know, it's a 2D game. It looks lovely, but it doesn't suffer from being, like, a little bit compressed on a phone screen. And it's not a fast-paced action game. It's, you know, so you can take your time. So latency is not an issue. But that's, yeah, so, and you know, so like it's a specific use case, but it's a very nice use of the tech. Whereas, yeah, if it was just PC or on the console, I don't think I would ever use it outside of Paw Patrol.
Yeah. Yeah, for me, I've only used xCloud stuff on mobile. But again, everyone is different.
Yeah.
I think one other thing to mention, you briefly touched on it then, James, but yeah, the fact is that in the premium tier, you know, there are improved frame rates, there is high quality resolution, some games as well, like the original PS1 and PSP games actually allow you to save, I think, anywhere, and also rewind gameplay.
Yeah,
they've
got the rewind stuff and all that, yeah.
Okay. So, yeah, they're adding some kind of cooler features, which you don't often see in old games, so that's nice. Again, if you are like, if you do want to play the old games and that's what you're into, these do have some cool quality of life features that they have added in.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see how it does and how often they build the library and how often they rotate games out of the library, which happens every week on Game Pass. It's not like it's not a new thing. Like, that's just the manner of these kind of services that things come in and things come out. I mean, that happens on Netflix, happens wherever, you know, stream services, wherever you go. So that's not new, but it'd be interesting to see how quickly the library does build.
But it's like, you know, a long time ago I said, you know, I wish that they would just combine like PlayStation Plus and PlayStation Now, which is kind of what they've done, but then not also like removed loads of the games. Yeah, and it's it just feels like the minimum possible that they could do. And I just think it's a shame that they probably are just going to drip feed all this stuff out over a long period of time, which is a shame.
And like, you know, and I'm saying, oh, you know, it's not fair to compare it to like emulation setups. It is fair to compare it to Game Pass. Yeah. Which, like, and as a, you know, as an Xbox owner so far this generation, there is nothing here to make me like, ah, fuck, maybe I should get a PS5.
No, especially if you've played most of these PS4 games, which I think most people have, why would this be interesting, honestly? It's just, I don't know. Anyway, let's move on.
This probably isn't fair to compare either, but, you know, when I got my PS5, and I think it's probably still service, but they had that the instant game collection stuff where they had like 25 or 30 PS4 games, didn't they, to like download and add to your library. I added everyone, but obviously didn't play a single one of them. did you play any of them, James?
No, I didn't. But this is pretty much the same thing. I tell you what's funny about this. You remember when I made that prediction where I said they'll release something and it'll just be PS4 games? It nearly is just PS4 games. There's only a couple PS5 on here.
Yeah.
Right. They're also announcing releasing the time limited game trials, so you can play Horizon Forbidden West and games like Tiny Tina's Wonderland as a limited trial, which is, something else, another benefit. But, yeah, bit of a weird one for me personally, but I can still see a lot of people thinking this is great.
Hang on. So I'm scanning down the lists. So is there no, right. So the PS2 stuff is filed under remasters and their PS4 versions, right? I mean, the PS2 alone has one of the most absurd catalogues ever. And we've got, like, what, 15 games, including Fantavision.
Fantavision's
I like
right.
Fantavision. But as everyone is very quick to say on Twitter, this is just a start. They're going to build it.
Yeah, I guess.
Unless they lose interest.
Well, I think it's a bit harsh to say it's this soon. But, so this launches when in the UK? Because I know it's a staggered launch, isn't it?
What's the date? It's okay, so I've got it here. It's June 13th.
All right. That's not that long.
Oh, no, sorry. June 23rd. June
23rd. Oh, fuck it then.
Yeah.
Forget it. All right, what's next?
So, do you remember Square Enix sold all their Western studios to Embracer for hardly any money?
Yeah.
Square have now said why they did it. And they basically said that they were trying to concentrate company resources, and again, they keep saying we're focusing on the blockchain, AI, and the cloud. They keep repeating that same phrase like over and over again. I think it's a mantra like at the company now. It's like blockchain, AI, cloud. You know, just keep saying it. Yeah, like over and over and over again. But they've also now said that they are going to establish new studios and engage in new mergers and acquisitions. But the president has also said that they shouldn't try and make games just aimed at the West.
And right. Square Enix president Yusuke Matsuda. So he said that they shouldn't just try and make games aimed at the West. So I'm presuming what this means is that this means they're going to, the purchases are going to be like Japanese studios, aren't they?
Right. Okay.
And maybe they merge with other Japanese studios rather than the Western ones anymore.
All right.
There was a lot of rumors about they're slimming down perhaps before someone like Sony. Sony would go in. I mean, Sony like, look, we'll buy you, but you need to buy more Japanese developers. So go hoover those people up, and then we'll and then we'll buy you.
How strange. I mean, I guess if they would just come out and say like, you know, all those Western studios we sold, it was just because we didn't really know how to handle them, so we're just focusing on what we do well, then fine. But at the moment, it kind of looks like we've just gone, oh, well, these are all rubbish. Let's sell them and get some good ones. It's just, it's weird. Very odd.
Yeah. It's going to be interesting to see where they're going to be in 12 months' time.
Mm. I'll tell you where they're going to be. Blockchain, AI, and the cloud.
Oh, yeah, of course. Yeah, my bad.
Big time.
Maybe they're getting into crypto at exactly the right time.
Well, it's very cheap at the moment. Why not?
Turns out all that money that they got from Embracer Group, they put it all into Luna.
They're still adamant. Like, yeah, we're still working on Outriders. Still publishing that.
Mm.
The game that still hasn't profited. I mean, and I think, I finished Outriders. I think it's really good fun. But it's strange that that's one of the ones they're sticking by. And Just Cause. I mean, I really enjoy Just Cause, but I don't think it's been a moneymaker for some time.
Yeah, and then the other one, there's Outriders, Just Cause, and Life is Strange. And, we all love Life is Strange. But again, I can't see that being a massive moneymaker. Maybe I'm...
No. I think wrong. True Colors did all right, didn't it? I know Life is Strange 2. I think the gaps between episodes, we said this at the time, I think that sort of killed it. Obviously, we were really interested because we're big fans, but I think for a lot of people, it didn't help with sort of general awareness of it. Whereas, I think we saw the learning from that with, True Colors coming out in one go. I don't know. And Life is Strange, I wouldn't be upset if that went to a different publisher. I don't really... There's nothing Square Enix about it, is there?
No, not at all.
What if for the next game, the secret power is blockchain AI as well?
I'll be up for it.
You're a crypto wizard.
Yeah. Yeah, you are a crypto bro.
Jesus. All right, what's next?
Okay, so also Nintendo had an indie world.
They did.
Where they showed some stuff. I mean, I'd just say straight up, no Silk Song, obviously.
Obviously.
I don't know what's happened to that game.
I think if we were going to see Silk Song, I think that would transcend into like a proper direct at this point, surely.
It feels like that, doesn't it?
You would imagine.
It's just disappeared.
Yeah.
They did put out a statement, didn't they? Or something very just before saying, we're hoping to show you some stuff soon.
Yeah.
Mm.
So.
That's it.
Maybe E3.
Did you guys watch this?
I didn't watch it live. I've seen some trailers since.
It was fine. It was a lot of just like ports. And ports of games that, it's cool that they are coming to the Switch because, Switch would be a good home for them. But it was very little like, holy fuck. That's generally the thing with indie shows is that it's just like, oh, guess what? Here's 10 games you didn't know about. And that's usually what's exciting about them, whereas this was a lot of like retreads of stuff we already knew about, or it was just an existing game coming to the Switch.
There was one game that I saw that I really was excited by.
I know what it is. Go on.
Which was Gunbrella.
Yes, mate.
This is the one I saw loads of people tweet about.
Was this Gato Roboto?
Yes.
Like developers. Yeah, it was, right. Okay, yeah.
And it looks, you can see the shared DNA between the two, but this looks... like something else entirely, doesn't it? It looks really fucking cool. Go and watch the trailer if you haven't already, but it's basically like a side-scrolling shooter where you have an umbrella that is also a gun, and it looks incredibly good. Really excited about that.
There was a couple of others. There was that. Was it Soundfall?
That's yes. The music game, wasn't it? It's an action RPG and also a rhythm game. That looked really interesting. Wild Frost.
The levels are generated through music, right?
Yes.
But is that any music or is that just
I think you can choose like which song from the soundtrack it plays in any given level, but then yeah, the levels are like semi randomly generated, I think. I mean, it's out now. I should probably just get it because it looks really good.
So I was going to put our podcast through it or something and see what it generates. You know?
See what it does. There was Wild Frost, which was a roguelike deck builder. Shut up, James. It looks good.
It's really good. Battler.
And it's from Chucklefish as well. Like, really gorgeous art style. Looks really good fun.
Yeah, yeah. The art style is Sean, Chucklefish, isn't it? Mm-hmm. Through and through.
Yep.
Is it anything like Slay the Spire or Hearthstone by any chance?
It is. That's what it says on Eurogamer.com. .net. Jesus.
Famously.
But then, yeah, on top of that, there was things like, so, you know, Totally Accurate Battle Simulator, mini motorways, like games that have been around for a bit and are good. But it's just like, yeah, now there's a Switch version. Like, yeah, okay. Ooblets. Okay. You know, that was another announcement that it was getting a port, but to be fair, that seems like a good fit on the Switch. Because that's
Epic Store for Switch, I think.
Is it on Xbox as well? I can't remember.
I think it's a Game Pass game, yeah.
Yeah. So, and I've always meant to try it out, but yeah, Switch would be good.
I mean, I'm still looking forward to OFK, or We Are OFK.
I feel like
that's like the narrative game about a band.
I love the idea of it, but it makes me feel really old watching that.
Yeah, I felt exactly the same, Sean. I looked at that and thought, this is not me.
And that's not a criticism. I am old.
Absolutely not.
Like,
yeah,
exactly. I'm not having a go.
I play Ace Attorney games. I mean, it's like, it's mad, but for some reason, this kind of. Yeah.
But yeah, I still think that looks excellent. I'm looking forward to that.
Yeah, man, on paper, like you say, like a narrative led game about being a band. Like, it does look really cool.
I thought Silt looked pretty good.
Silt did look good. I'm a bit. I mean, it's a bit like Limbo was a long time ago.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
But it is of a style. I know what you mean.
I mean, I'm probably being unfair. It does look really interesting. I mean, mini motorways, that's been on iPad and possibly Android for a couple of years now. Mm-hmm. But it is pretty good. So fine.
What did you think of Wayward Strand? Because that was the narrative game.
I don't think I remember this one. Which one was it?
It's the one which is in the airship, and then your character walks around and can hear stories that are going on.
Oh, yeah.
But the stories are all, loads of the stories are going on simultaneously.
Yes.
So you have to choose which ones you want to kind of follow, which ones like interest you or whatever.
Yeah, no, that did look really cool, to be fair.
Yeah,
it was like fully voiced and everything, which goes a long way when something's narrative heavy. Cult of the Lamb still looks great. That's the one where you do like, you know, you're basically sort of running like a little Animal Crossing style village, except also it's like a horrible cult, and then you go into a dungeon and sacrifice monsters and stuff, and yeah, it looks really good. Another Crab's Treasure. That's a new game from Aggro Crab, who are just, I mean, follow them on Twitter. They're just a very good addition to your Twitter feed, even if you don't particularly like their games. It's really, really good fun.
I thought this was a Mr. Crab sequel, but it turns out it wasn't.
But yeah. That was it. Now that we've gone through it, actually, that was fine, wasn't it?
It was fine, yeah. It's just there wasn't any, but it's just there wasn't any sort of like really big surprises or, you know, sort of like any sort of like, oh, wow, it's out right now moments, really. Even though there were a couple like that, but, you know, not like in big ways.
Yep. It was all right.
Okay. Next story is that Nintendo.
He's shifting in his chair. Did you hear that?
This
next one's going to be a banger. Let's go.
Yeah, we're shifting. So anyway, Nintendo have been talking about their next console, kind of. Mm-hmm. So this was during a Japanese investor Q&A, and Shintaro Furukawa has said that this is now a major focus for the company, obviously. Mm-hmm. So this is the quote. So it says, looking back on past experiences of generational change, such as the change from the Wii and Nintendo DS eras, we recognize that one of our tasks is ensuring the transition to future generations of hardware is as smooth as possible. To that end, we are focusing on building long-term relationships with our customers through Nintendo accounts. While continuing to release new Nintendo Switch software for consumers to enjoy, we aim to maintain relationships across hardware generations through services that utilize Nintendo accounts and by providing opportunities for them to experience our IP through non-gaming channels. And then on the idea of a new machine... they said, in order to create a single piece of hardware, we have to do a lot of preparation several years in advance. We're working without stopping. In the end, the deciding factor is whether or not a commercializer product is whether we can create a new experience. Basically, they're talking about the fact that if you look at Nintendo's history, moving from the really successful machine to the next one has never really gone very well. And, no. You've gone from like...
Have they ever had two in a row?
I don't know. I mean, you see the NES to the Super NES was big, but the Super NES still didn't do as well as the NES, I don't believe. It was still not quite. I mean, because the Mega Drive obviously ate into the market share, I guess.
I think certainly was it in America, the Mega Drive Genesis was absolutely dominant, wasn't it? Is that right?
Yeah, it did very, very well. I mean, I think ultimately the Super Nintendo came out on top.
Okay.
But it was, it was like a lot. It's a bit like the PS3 and the Xbox 360. It's like 360 was way out ahead. I think PlayStation 3 eventually eclipsed it, but not until right at the end of the generation when it was.
Yeah,
was
like
it.
The mind share was with 360. Like, you can ask those people today, and they're still thinking 360 absolutely obliterated PS3, but actually, right. I think PS3 in the end did overtake it, but it was already, at that point, I guess maybe people's minds were already on the next generation.
Mm. I mean, new ways to play, I feel like this is the one case,
I don't think we need to do that.
Well, exactly. Yeah, obviously the fun thing with Nintendo hardware is that whatever it is, whenever you see a new one, there's at least 3 seconds of what the fuck? Whereas with the Switch, I feel like they hit upon something that actually is becoming a wider trend now, but not in a flash in the pan, one-hit wonder motion controller sort of way. I think now that we're seeing, obviously there's the Steam Deck and then there's like a million other sort of copycat devices. I mean, prior to the Steam Deck, there were people doing mini handheld PCs, but they're all quite prohibitively expensive. The Steam Deck, not so much, but it's a nightmare to get hold of. And I gather some people are saying it still sort of has issues and stuff. Like it's not. Might be something to wait for, like the second or third version.
Yeah, it feels like it's definitely the first version of
I'd be absolutely fine with Nintendo just refining the Switch and doing another Switch.
This is great. Let's have more of this, please.
Yeah,
but like, looking nicer and that kind of thing.
Obviously, like the Wii being the success it was. Got more people into gaming and stuff and was amazing. And, how universal it felt. Anyone could get used to the controller. Not anyone, but that felt short-lived. Like, by the time the balance board was out, it was like they were piling up in GameStation and stuff. It was a weird time. Whereas the Switch, no one, at no point has anyone been like, oh, I'm bored of being able to play stuff handheld or on the TV. Like, it's just a very useful functionality to have.
Yeah. The Switch feels a lot more like, for example, like the NES or something like that, in the sense of it's like, it's really, really popular because it's got there's like a wide range of things you can play on this. It isn't like just a gimmick. And that was the thing with the Wii, wasn't it? It was like, it did sell a lot to loads of people, but then I think like attach rate was really low or whatever for it as well, They didn't sell a lot of games, like that's why third parties left, because they didn't really sell much beyond, packing and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Whereas this really feels like it's, it's transcended that.
Well, yeah, and it's still something that, this far into the Switch's life, like Sony and Microsoft have not done something similar. We haven't seen a shrunken PlayStation or an Xbox. So it's not like they can say, well, everyone's doing that now, so we need to do something else. Like, it's still in console terms. It's still just their thing. So,
yeah, I mean, the only issues with the Switch we've had over recent kind of months and years is like, it feels like it's not quite a slam dunk. When you saw an indie game on Switch, PlayStation, and Xbox, you're like, we'll get on Switch because it's, handheld. I'll play it wherever, on TV or as handheld. But now with, like, the performance, it's kind of like you have to really have to think about... if you want to take a performance hit to play it on the move. Yeah. But that's really the only thing.
Yeah.
But reading this, and I'm getting Xbox One vibes in that, you know, I love my 360, and they're like, all we want for the next Xbox is just like a better 360. Do what you did before, but the same. Like, for the Switch, all we basically want is exactly as you're doing now, but it's more powerful, you know, maybe more RAM, maybe 4K, whatever, exactly the same. But obviously, all this talk is, you know, we're thinking about new ways to play, blah, blah, blah. Like, we just want what you're doing now, which is amazing, but more of just that.
A bit better, yeah.
Yeah, just a little bit better. That's all we want. We don't want you to, you know, do something completely ridiculous, but...
Yeah, and like...
Yeah, but the thing with the transition from the 360 to the Xbox One, it was inevitable that was the direction it was going, because they'd already started it with the 360, you know, with, like, Kinect and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
You know, they were already moving in that direction. It was not really a surprise, I don't think, which was a... I mean, that's why people weren't happy, even at the end of that generation, with, like, you know, they're no longer focusing on, like, what, you know, on the core market or whatever, and still going for that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, all this, and like, we're still kind of on the Switch waiting for a sequel to, you know, Breath of the Wild, you know, the big launch game. Still haven't got kind of a brand new Mario Kart for this console.
Never going to have one.
A lot of like the big games are just ones that have come from Wii U. So think about how successful this console's been, and it's mostly just been like a massive kind of bringing over a lot of titles that people didn't play previously. Mm. On the previous console over to here, or like a slightly updated version. So it's just been wild how successful this thing's been. But it's exciting to see where it'll go in the future.
The thing is, if this, because they keep saying also that this is like halfway through its life now, if that's the case, then for the next 4 years or whatever, can we just have some more experiments, please?
Yeah.
You know, some more different things, rather than just ports, you know. I mean, I completely understand, like, moving all that stuff over from the Wii U makes a lot of sense, because there's probably... The work involved is not probably as much as, you know, launching completely new game or whatever.
Yeah.
But they've run out now, pretty much, of that stuff. So some new things would be nice.
Still, I'd still take a new Nintendo Land, but it won't work, because obviously the Wii U is the best console ever.
please, Star Fox though. Please, just leave that. Leave it. It's fine.
If we are just halfway through, do you think we are going to get like a high-powered Switch, or do you think that's just never going to happen now?
I don't know.
I don't think it's going to happen. And I think it's not going to happen because of all these like chip shortages that there are in general anyway.
True.
And I think they're probably just going to leave it.
But then, as you say, if we're already sort of worried about how like indie stuff will run on the Switch, and they're saying we're only halfway through its life, like that's going to look very bad in like 5 years.
Yes.
Anyhow.
Yeah, interesting. I personally think that's the reason we haven't had like a handheld, you know, Xbox or PlayStation. I mean, we had like previous handheld Sony devices, but I think, you know, they would want to say it's a 4K handheld device, and even, you know, Steam Deck doesn't do that, and there's already kind of major kind of battery considerations on Steam Deck.
Yeah.
So that's probably the reason why we haven't had a handheld Xbox or PS5,
like it's because they're like,
we can't do 4K handheld, and they don't want to downgrade, and battery life will be a disaster if we even get close to 4K. So that's probably why we haven't seen it.
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting. So like, I follow ETA Prime on YouTube. I imagine you do as well, Matt. Is that accurate?
What's it say?
ETA Prime on YouTube. He just does videos about just like mini PCs and stuff that he gets sent, basically.
I do follow a couple of channels, but I couldn't name them.
You'd enjoy it. Basically, yeah, he keeps going on about, basically there's this new series of AMD APUs, which I am very bad at this stuff. I don't really understand it, but my understanding is it's essentially just the next generation of like integrated graphics in a CPU, and it's like the performance is actually ludicrous, and it's sort of taking sort of learnings from like the way mobile processors have been, you know, put together for the last 10 years, and like taking that to the next level, basically. So yeah, he's like showing off like these like tiny PCs running Forza Horizon 5 at 1080p and 60 frames and stuff, and it's wild. So that stuff is within reach, but like these processors are not like, you know, mass produced yet. There's just like prototypes doing the rounds and stuff. So yeah, I think like this stuff is on the horizon. But yeah, as you say, but then and then there's battery life, and then there's storage, and then there's all that other stuff to consider. It's a minefield.
Yeah, yeah. I don't follow that channel, but I've just subscribed actually. Cool. I saw it's like the Ava Neo or the Ava Slide other day.
Yep.
Where it's like when it's handheld PC, you think it's a little bit like a Steam Deck or Switch, but like the slide, it's like the screen slides up like it's an old like Sidekick mobile. It looks amazing. I think that's just been announced. I don't know when that would be coming out, but
yeah, looks very cool.
Yeah, there's loads of these things coming out, and you're right, Sean. This isn't just because of Steam Deck. This has been happening for years anyway. Yeah. But it feels like the technology is here now, where loads of people are experimenting, trying to make the next big incredible kind of emulation device. Now they're not just about emulating old games. They're actually, no, you can play current games at amazing quality.
Yeah, you can run Elden Ring on this. Like, it's wild.
So it's pretty cool. It's a pretty cool scene at the moment.
Mm. All right, what's next?
Okay. Fall Guys is finally going free to play. So this is happening on 21st of June. And it's coming to Switch and Xbox, and it's going to have cross-play and cross-progression. I mean, this is what was supposed to come out last year in summer 2021, but it's coming out now.
Right.
But they're also releasing this new update with it that's called Free For All, which is introducing this new in-game currency called Showbucks, which can be purchased, or there's also a free progression track as well. If you bought the game on PlayStation, then you get like a free season pass for it as well. So, okay.
What if I just played it on PlayStation Plus? I assume that doesn't count.
I'm assuming that doesn't count, yeah.
Fair enough. Yeah, no, I mean, I wasn't as enamored with it as others, I think, when it first landed, but 100% I'll try this out again on Xbox. Why not?
Definitely. I mean, yeah, Asher was really pleased when he saw this because he played it a bit on PlayStation. He's always wanted it on Switch, so it's good.
Yeah, I saw some people mention it as like level design, isn't it, now? So that could be pretty cool if you can make your own Fall Guys levels.
Yeah, that'd be good fun. Yeah, fair dues.
Okay, the last story I've got is, I mean, obviously, last week we didn't talk about this because it broke on Tuesday after we recorded, but there's the whole thing with
Classic.
FIFA and with EA and how FIFA is no more, in a sense. It's now EA Sports, it's EA Sports Football Club, isn't it? Or EA Sports FC? I can't remember what it's called.
EA Sports FC, that's all.
Yeah, I mean, it's a horrible name. I think they are abbreviating it to EA FC, right?
Yeah, that would be the sensible thing to do, it sounds.
Which I predicted on the show, just saying.
Should have done that bet, shouldn't we?
Sorry, Matt, what'd you say?
I said we should have done that bet properly.
Yeah,
I mean,
yeah, we should.
Sarah scared me into not doing the bet, so I'm glad. And even if I won, we would have found a reason to make sure I lost. But EAFC was what people will call it, I guess. Yeah. It doesn't quite roll off the tongue like FIFA, but...
No.
So this is happening, and I mean, everyone kind of knew this was going to happen. It was kind of inevitable at this point, it felt. But... So, FIFA have responded now, and the president of FIFA, the actual organisation, has made a very interesting statement about this. Can I read you the full quote?
Please do.
Yes, it's brilliant.
I can assure you that the only authentic, real game that has the FIFA name will be the best one available for gamers and football fans. The FIFA name is the only global original title. FIFA 23, FIFA 24, FIFA 25, and FIFA 26, and so on. The constant is the FIFA name, and it will remain forever and remain the best. In capitals.
Wow.
Well.
Jesus.
It is such Donald Trump energy in that statement.
It's unhinged.
Yeah. The best.
See, and it's weird because the thing is you're thinking, okay, well, this EA have like dumped them, haven't they, at this point? So FIFA 23... Like, would it, you know, that's going to be EA Sports Football Club 23 or whatever it's going, whatever they're going to call it. I don't know.
No, it's not. No. So FIFA 23 is the last FIFA game. Okay. And then after that, it's...
They're not numbering them then?
Well, all we know is that, so EA making FIFA 23, and then after that, EA will be making their own EA Sports FC. Who knows what's happened with FIFA 24? I assume FIFA themselves will find a new developer to make FIFA 24. But in 2024...
Well, they must already have found them, right? Like, they can't...
Wait. Hang on. FIFA 23 is still happening as an EA game.
Yeah. FIFA 23 is the last thing that EA are doing.
Okay.
Really? I thought it wasn't. Yeah. I thought they were already shifting straight away over to...
No, because FIFA 23 is going to have like the Women's World Cup stuff and the Men's World Cup stuff in the same game for the first time. Mm. FIFA 23 is the last thing on EA's books.
Because I was going to say, like, the idea that FIFA were going to, like, spin up a new, like, a brand new complete football game by sort of September, October this year from scratch is kind of, like, impossible.
I wonder that would happen. Like, I can't even imagine, like, what the technicalities are like. Like, so if, so, you know, so if EA put out, you know, EA FC 24 and it's like, oh, it's the same game. Like, how much do FIFA own of, do you know what I mean? Like, how much, like, can they say, well, no, that's work that you did under our agreement. Therefore, you're not allowed to use it. Like, you're not allowed to keep using, you know, the technologies and stuff that you've developed over these years during our partnership. Maybe it's fine. Maybe the you know, whatever the contract was, no, doesn't, I mean, specify.
There's no way
like
the new developer will have any of, like, EA's stuff, because
no,
yes,
no,
it's the license.
About, like, what EA does post FIFA.
The
new dev is obviously starting from scratch. Which, I mean, is there potential for this to be a good thing for football games? Because FIFA's basically had no competition for a long time now, has it?
I don't think it. I think it still isn't going to have any competition, because I can't see how. Like, because the trouble is FIFA, for all its faults and for all its problems, has been building now for such a long time.
Yeah,
coming in and creating something from scratch that could compete with that. I just can't see how that, because they're also going to have to, you know, negotiate all of the, like, the leagues and the licenses and all that kind of stuff if they really want to compete with FIFA. EA Sports FC or whatever it's called.
But then surely it's in FIFA's best interest to nurture whoever that new team and publisher is, right? Like,
I think FIFA like money, though.
They do.
I just can't see them
maybe FIFA look at it as like, so like, you know, a fledgling team putting together a new game. They're like, no, you owe us shitloads of money. You're not getting any help.
It's going to end up being some mobile game. That's what it's going to be.
Do you reckon?
It's the
only global original title.
But yeah, just to confirm, I mean, a lot of people also were worrying about, hang on, if EA don't have the license anymore, what does that mean? But actually, EA have always said that, no, they've already got a licensing portfolio of like 19,000 players, 700 teams, 100 stadiums, like 30 leagues. So you're not, it feels like we're not going to lose anything by not having the FIFA license. Like,
so clearly they can still, you know, pay for all of that stuff, which is the important stuff. And yet somehow just calling the game FIFA is like a whole other magnitude of expenditure. Like,
the only thing that I think they're going to lose from this is going to be like the World Cups, like, you know, like being able to call it the FIFA World Cup or whatever. It's going to be, I mean, they'll just have their own generic like EA Sports World Cup or whatever like that. You know, was
it was just be called the World Cup, just not the FIFA World Cup.
Yeah, exactly.
Right.
Yeah.
And they were like, hey, here's the Euros, not the UEFA. Oh no, because that's UEFA. So actually, what happens there?
No, it's irrelevant, because that's completely separate. That's a separate thing.
Okay, cool,
UEFA and European
League.
But
yeah, in terms of like what will EA do, I think, like EA Sports FC would just be FIFA as we know it, just with some logos removed, I think.
Yeah.
I don't think that's going to drastically change at all, but we're going to hear more in July 2023 about what's going to happen in terms of this new EA Sports FC. I mean, I'm interested to see how it will change. Like, obviously, EA themselves have said, you know, kind of the name has been holding them back, and they got loads of ideas and loads of things they want to do. So it'd be very interesting to see what they can do if they're not beholden to the FIFA license.
Because isn't it like basically a known thing that they, like, even without you know, any interference from FIFA, like, they hold stuff back on purpose anyway, like, they, because ultimately they've got to put one of these things out every fucking year. And like,
exactly, yeah.
And I'm sure that there's like stories of, you know, like people visiting the studio and like seeing new features, and they're like, oh yeah, that's not going in next year's, it's going in like the year after, even though it's ready to go. It's just, we may as well ration out the new features, which I sort of get. Feels a little bit cynical, but just from a production point of view, it makes sense.
I mean, Matt, you know what it's going to involve, don't you?
Go on.
Blockchain, AI, and the cloud.
Fucking better.
Yes, I'm looking forward to Blockchain FC.
Yeah, there will be NFTs.
Just to confirm, 100%, FIFA 23 will be out this year, made by EA, but that's the last one as we know it.
That's going to feel weird, isn't it? It's like two people going through a divorce that still have to work together or something. It's going to...
It is strange, because, I mean, I've been playing these games since the original Mega Drive one, like the first one. Mm-hmm. I mean, I've not played every single one, obviously.
Yeah, FIFA 94.
Yeah, but you have played some of them 3 or 4 times, James.
That's true. That is very true. I didn't play them very much, like, during the bad era, you know, when they were really...
Anything from 96 really onwards was quite terrible. Basically. 96 to 2004, it wasn't good.
Mm. But then they really started to pull it out again, and it was good. Mm. But it's a shame.
All right.
Although maybe it doesn't matter. I mean, I think ultimately this doesn't matter. It'll be fine.
Yeah, I think what we now know as FIFA is going to continue just under a different name. I think it'll be interesting to see what interference there is from whatever FIFA is as of next year.
I cannot wait to see what they come up with. I cannot wait. I mean, this is why I still think they're going to end up partnering with Konami, you know, because that's going to be the quickest way to do this. You've got eFootball that was a disaster, mm-hmm. like an absolute disaster. I can see them like.
I mean, you're saying that in past tense. It still exists. Still, I think.
Sorry, yeah. Sorry, continues to be a disaster.
Still a disaster. Right, is that it for the news?
That is it. Yeah, I've got nothing else.
Cool. What have we been playing? I mean, I'm looking at the document, guys.
Strap in.
Have you seriously not played any? I mean, I know James has already sort of gone through some of his. You got nothing, Matt?
No, I just, the answer is no. I love Citizen Sleeper so much. I've been like, okay, what other games are like Citizen Sleeper that I could play? But I've been busy
Sleeper has left a bit of a hole. Like I've been saying for ages that like I've been playing Elden Ring constantly every week. And then I was like, I know that when Citizen Sleeper comes out, that'll like break me out of the Elden Ring cycle. Not that, you know, Elden Ring's incredible. I'm not saying like I'm sick of it or anything. Just starting to feel that pressure of like, I need to play different things, A, for the show and B, for my own brain. And yeah, and then like Citizen Sleeper came out and like I absolutely smashed it that week. And now that's over. And I sort of didn't really know what to do with myself. Yeah,
Sean, have you heard of a game? So I was Googling kind of what other games are like Citizen Sleep or things to play after that, and there's an article on thegamer.com and they listed things like Disco Elysium and other things, but one of the top, well, another one was a game called Synergia. Basically Synergia, mm-hmm. and it's on Xbox, it's on PlayStation. It's like a visual novel with like same kind of themes of AI and whatnot. I was wondering if you'd heard of it.
I haven't, no.
But I might try and dig that out.
Yeah,
I need to just get back into another game. I just haven't found the time this week, and in like post Citizen Sleep, I just thought, just want that again.
Yep.
I want that again, really. But no, so I do apologize. I will definitely have something for next week. But
that's fine.
It's just been a busy one. Although actually, I'm going to Stag this weekend and then a gig. I'll find time.
Never mind. Right. So I've played a couple of games. I've started.
Thank God.
I've started playing Wolfstride, which is it's been out on PC for a bit and recently landed on Switch. So I bought the Switch version. I'm only a couple of hours in, and I have to say the pacing at the start has been really off. There's a lot of things I really love about it. I just haven't been able to do most of them. So this is like on paper, it's like, oh, it's a turn-based like mech combat game, right? But where it's literally like you and one opponent. So it's not like top down on a grid or anything. It's more, like your mech is on like one side of the screen, and there's like a bar across the bottom that sort of represents like the arena, and it's split into chunks. But there's no, like I say, you're not like looking at like an arena or anything. It's kind of interface based. And it's like, you know, choosing attacks, targeting like specific parts on the other mech, and you've got all different moves and stuff, different effects, stuff like that. However, I can't really say anything beyond that, because in the 2 hours I've spent on it, I've only done 2 fights.
The
rest of it has been, this is like a significant part of the game. I'm not saying it should just be 100% fights all the time. But it's also like you running around as like the manager of your sort of little crew, right? So it's like a sport, right? Mech combat. It's not like you're in a war or anything. So you're sort of, when you're in the fight, you're playing as the pilot of the mech. But then the rest of the time, you're playing as this guy who's like the manager, and he's like, I think he's like an ex like Yakuza and stuff. It's kind of, there's a lot of stuff in the story about him having like a mysterious past. It, like, it's very anime, the whole thing. Like, he seems like a reasonably nice guy, but he's like, oh man, like, I hope my bad past doesn't catch up to me. which he won't talk to anyone about. So there's like, there's shitloads of dialogue. There's a lot of running around, doing errands, you know, fetch quests, stuff like that. However, the dialogue is genuinely very funny, and it's all fully voice acted. And like, the performance, you know, from the voice actors is like actually incredible, in places. Like, they really like gave a shit. Like, you can tell. And it's just, the story is just bizarre. I don't know if it's like set on like another planet. I don't think it is. It's one of those, like, I think they've referenced like 2017, right? Which I think was like a few years ago in the game story. So I think it's one of those, it's just like an alternate history deal.
Yeah, it's alternative Earth or something.
Yeah.
Or...
But like, the general vibe of it is very Cowboy Bebop. It's very, yeah, sort of futuristic cowboy stuff. Like, the music especially is very, you know, there's a lot of sort of like Americana sort of influence there. And just all the characters are just weird and really stylized and just like, you know, just loads of really cool illustrations and stuff. You know, for like during dialogue and what have you. You get this robot who's supposed to like train your mech pilot. So you as the manager, you're like, right, we need to train the pilot, and getting a human to do it's way too expensive, but you can get robots to do it now, so it's fine. But you can't afford a good one, so you get one from a junkyard, and he's called Peepoo. As in
Peepoo, that's
as
fine.
In pee and poo. And the performance for him borders on being irritating, which is absolutely the point, right? Everyone else like hates this robot. And he just like never shuts up. But like, when you first get him, everyone talks about how this robot absolutely stinks. But the pilot loves him, right? He's like, no, he's going to be my best mate. I'm going to clean him up. He's going to be fine. Like, he's, you know, he's going to be brand new. And then the next day, you talk to your pilot again. He's like, yeah, I got rid of the smell. I opened him up, and there was some dead rats in there. And you're like, okay. And he's like, yeah, they were kind of like hugging each other. I think they were lovers. It was really sad. And there's just little, not even gags, just weird little comments like that that, you know, I think are quite funny.
Yeah.
Okay. But as I say, I think that this changes. I know, like, people who... So I never played the demo for this. There was a demo on Steam for a while, and people were really into it. And that sounded like it was just, like, basically fight after fight with, like, you know, a bit of story and stuff. But yeah, I've literally done two fights. And like, the first fight you do is very, obviously it's the tutorial. And it sort of ends abruptly due to story reasons. And then the second fight you do is 100% unwinnable, because the joke is that, like, you know, from the first fight, your mech is just an absolute state. And then you sort of, you're trying to repair it. And it's like, okay, this is going to take a month. And then you as a manager, like, right, I've got another fight. It's in 2 days. so the joke is that you are not ready for it, but it's like, yeah, I just want to actually do the fights properly, please, and actually...
But is this because the main focus in this game really is about, like, the story stuff?
I mean...
The fighting is just...
I guess, but still, like, I feel like... And I understand, like, you know, they want there to be this sort of, you know, like a context and a tension leading up to each fight. It's just that even so, it's just too long between the fights for me. But this may change, right? Obviously, I'm still like in the opening. I'm still like adding new people to my crew and stuff. So I am into it. I just really hope the pacing changes as it progresses. But I mean, we'll see.
It looks gorgeous. There's no color in the entire game.
Sorry,
there's no, like,
it's completely black and white. But yeah. I say, like, really striking. I mean, if you were going to get this on Switch, if you've got an OLED, it'll pop. It will certainly
pop. Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, it looks great on TV as well.
I love the mixture between like the pixel style of the characters and then like the anime style of the illustrations of the characters as well.
Yeah. It's really nicely done. Like, but I mean, sometimes they look a bit incongruous against each other, but broadly speaking, they're both done really well. It's like really good pixel art and really good sort of detailed, sort of manga style art. So it's, yeah, really good looking game. And just like when you're doing the fights as well, it's like it's so, like the mech just like fills the screen. And there's just something like really cool and sort of imposing about that. Like you don't need to see how big the mech is against like other, like, you know, its surroundings or whatever, because you're just like, it's the entire screen. It's huge. Like it's really nicely done. So yeah, hopefully more on that next week.
I'm not sure to hear more. Before, it looks really good.
Before you get to the next game, I just want to ask you about another game.
Oh yeah.
That I've been thinking about.
Yeah.
And I'm pretty certain you've probably played it because it's one of those. It's one of those. You know, the Stanley Parable.
Yeah.
Is it good?
Yeah, man.
Because I've never played it.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Absolutely. Because they've just put out that new version, haven't they?
That's why I'm interested. Yeah.
Yeah.
I've also never played it.
Oh man. Definitely play that, Matt. You'll love it.
Yeah. It looked right on my street. I just never got around to it at the time. But
it's,
what is it? Like,
so
exactly?
Stanley Parable is a game where, so it's like a first-person, it's a walking simulator, if you want to use that term. And it's like, so you sat at a computer, and it's like, and you know, the narrator sort of goes like, Stanley stood up from his computer. And then it's like, Stanley walked across the office. And like, you've got, all you can do is walk across the office, right? So you're doing everything the narrator's saying as he's saying it. And then you come to like a corridor where there's like two exits. And then it says like, Stanley took the left exit. And right. And it's like, oh, okay, what do I do? And basically the game is like that problem played out in like 1,000 different ways and with, you know, an increasingly sort of interesting and sort of weird context.
So you can like, obviously, so I can take the right exit if I want to.
Exactly. And then,
and
the narrator sort
happen.
Of reacts accordingly and sort of gets upset with you or, but there's like, there's so many sort of branching paths you can sort of possibly take. And like, and this, apparently this new version is like well worth playing even if you played the original. They've added like quite a lot of new stuff. It's a super interesting game, but without like, and it's kind of, I don't know, it is trying to be what some people would call pretentious, I suppose, in a way, but it's presented in such a accessible way. I think it really works. Like there's like an in-game sort of gallery where there's like some commentary from the developers and stuff about how, you know, the sort of design sort of problems or things they found interesting that they were trying to address with the game. So you can dig into that stuff if you want, but it's just super interesting to play through in and of itself and just experience it. Absolutely check that out. I think you'll both really enjoy it.
Nice. Yeah, it looks interesting. Yeah. And yeah, so I just wanted to ask, because I kind of recall you talking about it before, like a very long time ago.
Yeah, because it's been around. The original was like, what, 10 years ago? Maybe more than
2013.
That. 2013.
Oh my God,
yeah, right. And I think prior to that, it was like a Half-Life mod, and then it sort of graduated from that into its own thing. But yeah. The other game I've played is Lego Marvel Super Heroes 2. So I did play a lot of the first one fairly recently, but it just, with other stuff going on the show, it didn't really seem worth bringing up. Because I got, because Isaac started getting into Marvel stuff, like, I think I said, like, he watched me play Guardians of the Galaxy, and, like, he really enjoyed that. And then I sort of played a bit of the Avengers game, and he sort of, like, kind of enjoyed that, but not as much. And I thought, oh, actually, yeah, he loves Lego, so let's get him the Lego Marvel games. Because there's, like, a pack of all of them, and I think it's the Avengers one as well, which is separate. And it was on sale on the Xbox for like £20 for the lot, and it was like all the games and all the DLC. And I was like, yeah, do you know what? Like, there's, you know, that'll probably be a perfectly acceptable time for £20. The difference between Lego Marvel Super Heroes 1 and 2 is absolutely astonishing, especially because 2 is worse. Like,
really?
No.
Like,
I wasn't expecting that.
So, Lego Marvel Super Heroes 1 has the cool, like, dynamic split screen stuff that I've talked about recently when we're talking about Lego Star Wars and stuff. And it's got the huge, like, open world, like, Manhattan, right? So between levels, it's like, yeah, you're in Manhattan, you can be any superhero, you can explore, you can, you know, find extra stuff to do, and, like, it all works seamlessly in co-op. If you've got a character who can fly, you can just fly up to the Avengers base in the sky and then jump down again down to the city, like, and it's all, like, totally seamless. It, like, it's so, like, impressive, even now. And, like, playing it on the Series S, like, it's got, you know, FPS boost and stuff. Like, it still looks great. Marvel Superheroes 2 is just, I don't know. Like, the open world stuff is not the same, for starters. I can see, like, on paper, it's a very cool idea. Basically, a villain has gone around, like, all different, you know, multiverses or whatever, and has, like, stolen bits of, like, so, like, oh, here's, like, a bit of New York. Here's a bit of, you know, like, medieval England, like, here's a bit of Wakanda, is, you know, so it's all, like, locations from, like, other sort of Lego settings or Marvel settings, whatever, but it's not seamless. They're all sort of separated by portals, and, like, as you're flying around, there's just, like, there's the sort of, so, like, the bit of the, of, like, Wakanda that's been stolen, right, the edge of that just has, like, a big fucking green, like, energy field around it. So you're always looking that, no matter where you're looking. It's like, oh, right, this is just, like, a tiny bit of this world. And I'm sure, you know, by the time you finish the game, there'll be so many of these areas that, like, the sum total area for you to explore is huge, but it's so broken up that it just feels weird. And just the puzzles are just awful. And I say puzzles, you know, I mean, you know what they're like in Lego games. It's like, push this lever, move this here, do that, whatever. And there's always, like, a bit of friction there. I don't really like the puzzles in these games, generally speaking. But the ones in Marvel Superheroes 2 are, like, the worst I've seen. Just so unintuitive. Like, Isaac's just getting fed up because I cannot figure the puzzle out, right? He's getting bored.
Oh, man.
Because I'm just like, I don't know what the fuck I'm supposed to do. Like, so case in point, you got a team of superheroes, including Captain America. And, you know, there's these, like, switches that you can throw his shield at and it activates the switch, right? And you're in this sort of wide, sort of long corridor, and there's a switch he needs to hit at the end, but it's in, like, a case with, like, one open end. And he's like, oh, man, in order to hit that with my shield, like, to get the right angle on it, I'll have to bounce my shield off some other stuff. And you're like, right, okay. And it comes up with a tutorial, and it's like, stand on this icon, and then press this button, and then you can aim your shield, and then press the button to throw the shield. And I'm like, okay, found the icon, stood on it. There's nothing to throw the shield at. There's nothing to bounce the shield off. And it must have been about 10 minutes, where I was just like, what the fuck am I supposed to do? I don't understand. And then it turns out within this corridor, there's, like, other things you're supposed to smash and rebuild or move around or whatever to create the points that you can bounce your shield off in order to hit the switch.
Right, okay.
But it's like, well, why bring up the tutorial saying, yep, just do this? When there are other steps involved, like, just a bit of text that was like, oh, make sure, you know, that, like, there might be things you have to do in the room first. Like, yeah, that would be so helpful. And, like, it opens with Guardians of the Galaxy, right? Which is great, because, like, Isaac loves them. He's never seen the films, but, you know, from the game, he knows them and really likes them. It's... the game's not funny, and I generally find the LEGO games quite funny, and this one is not, and especially... Go on, sorry.
Especially with Guardians of the Galaxy, how do you mess that
exactly
up?
Exactly, and, like, coming off the back of the Guardians of the Galaxy game, which is very funny and has some incredible, you know, like, really good writing and great performances, like, this feels like a really naff copy of the films in a way that we all feared the game would, but it actually didn't. Mm-hmm. It's like the voices just aren't quite right, the lines aren't particularly funny. Yeah, weird. So I want to just carry on playing the first one, but obviously Isaac's like, no, we've got the second one. He's already got that mentality of, like, no, this one's got two at the end, so it must be better.
Yeah.
It's like, no, who's this actually? I mean, often, yes.
Sean, but you need to sit down with him and be like, we need to talk about Attack of the Clones.
It's funny, he's into so many things now through the lens of Lego, but won't actually sit and watch the films. Like he's well into.
That's understandable, especially with Attack of the Clones.
You've been playing Lego. You've been playing the Skywalker saga, haven't you? Lego
on and off. Yeah, I mean,
compare going back to this game now?
Oh, this is worse, 100%. Like, I'd much rather be playing the Skywalker saga than this. But it's just, Isaac's obsessed with this one at the moment, so that's what's happening. Yeah. Yeah.
It's kind of ridiculous that it feels a bit complicated to play, but it's meant to be a kid's game.
Well, yeah.
Yeah, but I found that with the Skywalker saga as well, though, in places.
This has been
it's just a bit irritating.
The trend over the years, hasn't it? Like, the first few LEGO Star Wars games was like, and I've said this a million times, but anyone can get to the end of those games because you just mash the buttons, you fight some guys, you jump, do a bit of jumping. Occasionally you build something and press a button. But the whole point was the puzzles were pretty much entirely optional. Like, you would then go back through the game, replay old levels, switch characters at will, and do the puzzle stuff. Whereas those puzzles started to seep into the main game more and more. And they are not always welcome. So, yeah. It's just funny because you would think, like, these games would just be, like, constant, like, refinement. Like, okay, maybe try new things. Like, even if I didn't like the setting as much in this one as the first game, like, surely, like, how could the gameplay be worse? And yet, it is. Really odd. Not enjoying it, gotta say.
But do you think you will just keep ultimately playing it until you get through the lot, or just ultimately until Isaac gets bored?
It's just going to be till Isaac gets bored, I think. And then I'll see if I can coax him back onto the first or onto Skywalker Saga. There's level Marvel Superheroes 1 and 2, but then there's also Lego Avengers. That was like a separate deal. I think I had that on PC a while ago. I remember not enjoying that for similar reasons. So maybe this was just like a bad time for Lego games for one reason or another. I don't know. So that's it. I mean, more Sea of Thieves, obviously, but no one needs to hear about that. Should we do questions?
Yeah, let's do cool. It.
Shoot.
If you want to send us a question, go to tcgs.co/DearTCGS. Maria Mendieta says, "Dear TCGS coders, walk with me on the Nintendo DS allows you to set your step goal and walk towards it with the included and highly accurate pedometer. How receptive would you be to the idea of a game displaying exactly how much time you have until you see the credits? Thank you for the weekly dose of hilarity. Sincerely, Maria."
I would love that.
Depends
on the game, right? Like,
I like to have a rough idea of how long things are when I get in them, but I don't want to, like, a countdown or whatever like that, because that would just feel artificial.
It would feel weird. It would feel very weird.
Yeah. Well, yeah, maybe not like that explicit, but I always want to know how long, how long have I got left in this? Is this going to take me tonight? Is this going to, is it going to be actually like another 10, 20, 50, 20 hours?
Yeah.
If I knew, you've got this length of time.
But there's a difference.
That'd be much better.
But there's a difference between being halfway through something and checking on like how long to beat versus like a timer in the corner, right?
Yeah, I guess.
But then, I'm saying that, but like any film you can pause and be like, oh yeah, I am a third of the way through. And that's not a problem.
Yeah, but I kind of hate doing that. Like, if I'm in the cinema, I hate or try not to accidentally glance at my watch. So I'm like, oh fuck!
But don't,
I know
don't
I'm
you do
like,
that thing where you're trying to work out how long it's been on for and how long's left, and you're like, oh, that happened, but that was ages ago, so we must be near like 2/3 of the way through. Do you
I
never
try
do
not
that?
To. I just want the experience to keep going often. So I don't want to think, well, I'm probably 2 hours in, it's going to end half an hour. So I just want to be carried along by the story. That's why I hate, it's 9:10, that means it's going to end soon.
If you're sitting there watching Trolls 2 with the children,
well,
like,
it's a little
like,
bit different, I think.
But then,
yeah.
The comparison doesn't really work, does it? Because ultimately, any film is going to be roughly the length of every other film you've ever seen. There's like they vary, obviously. But it's, with a game, it could be like, well, is this going to take 5 hours or 150? Like, there's a much wider
it's very different
range there. So it's, which has massive implications on whether or not you should even start it in some cases.
For me, that's a huge factor. I look at how long to beat all the time. Mm-hmm. Like, a new game, brilliant. How long is it going to take? Okay, I'm in or I'm out. I think those numbers are often wildly out of whack with how long it takes me to play games. yeah. anyway. But no, they're always like, okay, good indicator of how long or how many levels left or whatever. I mean, I use that stuff all the time just because I want to know how much more I'm getting. Mm. You know, if I can push through to the end now or tonight or this weekend. Mm. And yeah, but you know, maybe you're right. Maybe a proper like countdown or like a timer isn't quite the same.
Yeah. Right, Nick Beale says, everyone has one. What is that one thing that you've lost that always plays on the back of your mind? You've turned the house upside down two or three times and can't find it, even though you swear it must be around somewhere. Love the pod. Hope it never gets put down and falls between the sofa cushions.
Can I choose something that was from when I was a child?
100%.
That I still think about sometimes.
That's exactly what his question's about. Yeah.
Do you remember, did you ever see the cartoon series Mask?
Yeah.
Yeah. Do you remember, so there was also loads of toys, obviously, that came out with that. And one of my prized possessions when I was a kid growing up was Boulder Hill that I got for Christmas one year.
I don't know what that is.
just Google it. It's amazing. It was absolutely amazing. It was pretty cool. So anyway, there was a character that came with that was like one of the Mask characters. I lost that, and I never know what happened to it. And I looked everywhere in the house. Like, this is when I was about, I don't know, 6 years old, like 5 or 6 years old, and I never found it again. And I was always sad that I never found that.
Yeah. I remember as a child, there were two pieces of future technology that I thought would definitely be invented that I used to fantasize about. One was like a network of lasers that would sweep through the house and kill any spiders. The other one is, something where you could just like search for objects within your own house. And it would just be like, it's here. It's under this pile here. And I used to lose so much stuff. I can't even remember most of it. The one that sticks out, and this isn't even a childhood one. This was me as a grown ass adult. Do you remember the other week I was saying that when I played Skate, I ended up buying a pair of trainers from the game?
Yes, I remember saying that.
Adidas trainers. They vanished one day. You may be thinking to yourself, how the fuck do you lose a pair of trainers?
That's what I was thinking.
I don't know. That drives me absolutely insane because I love them as well.
And is there no chance at one point that I'm not wearing these, I might also get rid of them?
No, not at all, because I loved them. And then it was just one day, oh man, I haven't worn them for like a couple of weeks. I wonder where they are. Fucking gone. And I hadn't been even if I'd been away or something, I hadn't been anywhere that warranted taking more than one pair of shoes. So, and I hadn't returned home with no shoes at any point. So where did they go?
Yeah, but someone's probably just thought, Sean's not wearing these, bin.
Someone's spotted them and they've gone, they're the trainers from Skate.
Yeah. I need
to have them. They were actually like rare as well. They're like hard to find. They weren't expensive, but they were so rare in the sense that there wasn't many, but no one really wanted them either. so like they weren't like highly sought after or anything, but they were hard to find. And yeah, and
well, they're really hard to find now.
Well, yeah, even harder now.
So a couple of things. One, James, Boulder Hill, to buy that now, it's £380.
Man alive. Okay.
Yeah. I was like, I might try and find the thing that... No, I'm not going to do that, James. two, I absolutely... So, no, James, what did he... Was it like a little dude in Boulder Hill you lost?
Actually, I'm just tweeting the picture of him, actually.
Okay, good. It's a little dude. Well, maybe we'll find that dude for you. And two, I absolutely hate losing things. I don't lose things that often because I make sure everything's in its place. But I always like, if I were to lose things or if I can't find something straight away, I always think like what that thing must be seeing right now. I'm like, okay, what if I've lost, I don't know, a remote or whatever, I'm like, well, what would that remote be looking at right now? Like, that remote's pointing on its own. Under
like
some papers
like
somewhere
Toy Story or something. Like it's
It might see my feet walk past saying like, I'm under here. You don't I just hate losing things. I can't actually remember something, but because I've lost like so few things, but but when I have lost something, it really plays on my mind all the time. The time. Because that's
it's
what I
the
want
worst
to do.
Feeling.
I go mad otherwise.
I think I've mentioned this, but I got tiles for my wallet and my keys so that I can make them beep and locate them whenever. That's been a fucking lifesaver. Like it's nice to just admit to yourself that you need these things sometimes.
I've got AirTags on everything, Sean, that I own.
I was going to say, yeah, because AirTags are a thing.
I've got them on everything.
What do you mean everything now, James? Like, what? Obviously, keys.
I've got them on keys. I've got one in a wallet. I've got one attached to my bike. Because I've got loads of different keys. I've got like office keys and all that kind of thing. If whenever I go anywhere, I stick one in a bag as well, just in case I lose that. Because I lose things in the house all the time. Like you put things down and they just go. It's like, where's this gone? And usually it's the children. You know, I've like moved things or whatever. So I just put those on everything now. They're great.
Don't blame you. It's the worst feeling. You're just trying to leave the house and your keys no longer exist.
Yeah.
I just put things in the same place so they don't get lost.
Whereas
Jill comes in and throws everything everywhere and then we have arguments because she's like, where are my fucking glasses? Where are my keys? I'm like, well, I can't even tell you where they could be because you've probably just like come into the house and like thrown your bag and they've gone to like four corners of the household. I don't know. How can you live your life like that? I put my keys in the front pocket of my bag, put the bag in a certain place. That's one less thing to worry about, surely.
That must be lovely, but I can't possibly.
and that's why, if I do lose something, I'm like, well, this is not like me. You know, they're always in my bag at that place. Yeah. What's happened? It's not my fault, clearly.
It's weird because, but like when it happens to you all the time, like, I mean, obviously, and you know, this is one of the many things that makes more sense post ADHD diagnosis. But yeah, for a long time, I was like, am I going fucking senile? Is that what this is? Because it was getting that bad.
Yeah, I bet.
Like I could not leave the house without being like, where the fuck is everything? Like, and the weirdest part is like when you do find stuff, it's never through like the brute force process of just turning over everything and eventually and there it is. It's always like I will search and search and search forever, not find it, and it's almost like a fucking spirit like just goes like top of your wardrobe, mate, and you're like, oh my god, yes. I don't know why I put
it just
there,
comes to you, does it? As I thought,
yeah, it's like the neurons have suddenly sparked up and connections have been made in the brain. It's like, you put it, you know, remember, it's just put it on top of the wardrobe. Why? Don't know.
It's in the freezer. It's in the freezer.
It is so nice, though, isn't it, when you find something that you thought was gone and then you're just like, oh, thank goodness I found it.
Yeah.
It's good.
I am, not to make this an advert for Tile or anything, but my wallet ended up in the washing machine with my Tile in, bank cards, driving license, etc. Not on a normal wash, on a 90 degree wash. Because I think Isaac had shit his pants or something. Anyway, the fucking wallet, dead. Cards, all dead. Driving license, dead. Had to get a new one. Tile, absolutely fine, still works.
Wow.
That's absolutely buzzing. Because, I mean, you can imagine, obviously, because I was trying to find my wallet. I was like, where the fuck is it? I was like, where's the beeping even coming from? Why is it in the kitchen? Why does it sound like it's in one of the... Oh, no.
Why does it sound like it's underwater?
Yeah. Nice. Right. Kurt Lewin. Hi, chaps. We all enjoy when James comes up with names for games off the top of his head, so I wanted to ask him, in light of the FIFA news, what would he call the next EA football game instead of EA Sports FC? Cheers. I mean, this was in the doc, James. You had time to prepare. Not that it's as funny.
It's not the same, though, is it?
No.
No, see, that's the thing. I mean, I was toying with Wayne Rooney's Football Factory.
I like that.
As something. But then, and also you could like, you know, whichever country it was coming out and you could change it for whatever's popular, you know, in the mid-2000s in that country. You know, to something.
What was the, was it Michael Owen's electronic goal blaster? Call it that.
Yes, like that. There you go. Yeah.
I mean, you can't call it that because that's already a thing, copyrighted and everything. But that'd be a great name for a football game. The electronic goal blaster.
What was the electronic goal blaster?
Wasn't it? It was like a little goal, and then there was a ball, but it was attached to like a thing that would fix to the floor somehow.
Okay.
So you would kick the ball and it would go to the goal and then it would just like ping straight back at you.
Yeah, I'm just looking at it.
And then you could keep... and then you could just keep kicking it over and over again.
Because when I was younger, I had one in Michael Owen, I think it was Michael Owen endorsed, where it's like a little, something you hold in your hand and you press a button and off pops a football, a mini one, but it's attached to a bit of string so you can practice, like, you know, keep your uppies and stuff. Do you have one, James?
No, I don't know.
Do you know, do you know what I mean, though?
Yeah, I know exactly what you mean, yeah.
Yeah, I think that was Michael Owen endorsed. I used to love that little thing.
He endorsed an awful lot of stuff.
He just put his name on anything, didn't he?
Bless I just clicked on a review of it and it's one star. I said it's not very good. Sharpen your shooting skills, it says.
£7.40 on pickclick.co.uk. Sealed as well.
James, I think you should get that and do a stream on it.
It's a stream, isn't it?
I mean, it's got.
Oh, no, hang on a minute. No, this is a. Oh no, I am confused. No, what is this? PS1 demo disc. What the fuck is happening?
The one I'm looking at is, it's got commentator and crowd response with 17 great phrases when you score, miss, or hit the keeper.
A training goal that tells you how good you are. Amazing.
Wow.
I can't. How did we get onto this? Oh yeah, the new EA Sports FC is called Michael Owen's Electronic Goal Blaster. Henry Toaster has written in. Henry Toaster says, "Pop, surprise! It's me, Henry Toaster. Your toast is done, but what bread did you choose? White, brown, seeded, or another? Oh, be careful where you place your fingers. I'm hot."
Thank you, Henry.
What a fantastic way of asking.
From the people who brought you Henry the vacuum.
Yeah. I'm a child, so I really like white bread. White seeded is the sort of compromise, like the health compromise. But like actual brown bread makes me genuinely miserable.
Oh no.
See, I like seeded. I do like seeded, but also, like you, Sean, I do like white bread as well.
Yeah. You know. And I don't like, it annoys me when you know, it's like, oh, this white bread's been like fortified with iron. It's like, yeah, because you took all the good stuff out when you made it white.
Mm.
Like, it's ludicrous. But yeah, I really like a grilled cheese sandwich as well. You can't do that with brown bread.
Mm.
Doesn't work.
It doesn't work as well, no.
And also, bacon sandwich, it has to be like white bread.
Not necessarily. I mean, if I could choose, it would be granary, because I love that stuff.
Sourdough is always a good shout.
Yeah.
Tiger
briskers. I like that. Yeah.
Don't get me started on French sticks. That's my my biggest vice. I need to stop that.
Oh,
I have cut down. I was on two a weekend at one point.
Oh, were you? I must have mentioned this before, but you know those like part baked ones?
Yeah.
The ones you make at home?
We get those all the time here because they're like bread is a big deal here. And so we get all that stuff all the time. And that's why I gain loads of weight.
So, James, why is bread a big deal over there?
No, it's in like there's tons of bakeries, Matt. Like tons. Like they're everywhere. Like,
that sounds dangerous.
There's just so many bakeries here. I've never seen so many in my life. It's ridiculous.
And there's loads here. I mean, there's Greggs on every corner.
No, but not Greggs. It's like these are all just like, you know, independent ones, and just like there's just loads and loads of them, and they're all good as well, and they all sell interesting things. Like one of my favourites is like
you get
the croissant that's got like, you know, cheese and bacon in it and all that kind of stuff, and it's just
that's dinner, isn't it?
Exactly.
That's,
yeah,
that's
so
everything.
Much good stuff.
Oh, James, I just realised when I pick you up en route to TCGS Con, I'll get us some Copenhagen slices from Germany.
Oh, that'd be so good.
It's going to be fucking fantastic.
Yep.
But yeah, I can see, like in terms of weight gain, that sounds like a whole set of risks.
It's a nightmare. Yeah.
So, Sean, what's a Copenhagen slice?
The Copenhagen slice, I've talked about it before when there was the conversation about like vanilla slices, right?
Yes.
And how they're annoying because you bite into them and all the cream goes out either side.
Whoosh all over your tie. Yeah.
Whoosh all over your tie. The Copenhagen slice is very similar, but as far as I can tell, it's not actually from Copenhagen. It's just a local, well, not local, but there's a small chain of bakeries that do them up here. And yeah, they call it a Copenhagen slice for some reason. But it's basically the top and bottom are like, they're like puff pastry. They're like really light so that as you bite into it, it doesn't, like, the cream doesn't fuck off out either side because it's all, like, about the same consistency. It's a fucking game changer.
That does sound nice.
I'll bring everyone one.
Like, right, yes, lads, please do.
We've all made it to Sheffield. Everyone have Copenhagen slices, and we'll just sit in silence for 5 minutes while we eat them. Go on, sorry.
I'm going to bring a load of noppers and like chuck them at the audience. You know,
oh my God,
that's my plan.
Yeah. I love that.
Noppers on tap.
Absolutely love it.
Yeah.
And there'll be some people who are like, oh, well, I mean, I'll put it, you know, I'm an adult, I'll put it in my pocket and maybe have it later. And then there'll be some people who are like, yes, fuck it, open it up.
Yeah.
I'm going to watch the live show, fucking booze in one hand, noppers in the other. Who gives a shit?
Yeah.
Right. Garrison Savannah, last question. Does Sean have enough friends to crew a galleon? I mean, if they all came on at the same time, yes. But a galleon is fucking difficult.
What is the maximum amount of friends on Sea of Thieves?
Four players is the maximum. Oh. That's a galleon. So you've got the sloop, which is one to two players. The brig or brigantine, which is two to three. But I mean, the level I tend to play at, we need three people for a brigantine. Like, trying to do that with two people is a bad move. Apparently, Darren Garget can do one on his own.
Of course,
galleon like needs four people, and like everyone like needs to know like what they're doing and like have a job, right? Like, you can't just sort of wing it. It's incredibly difficult. So yeah, I mean, it is tempting to do a stream like with three other people and do a galleon. That would be very funny, but it won't be successful. Is the answer?
Well, it might happen, but
it might.
Okay,
it
well, might. It's good to know.
Mm. That's it for questions. Do you want to do socials, Matt?
Yes. So as I mentioned at the beginning, TC JustCon tickets still on sale, not many left. So if you want to come down on Saturday, the 2nd of July, for up to 4 hours of Laser Quest and a live show and drinks and meat and stuff after that, please go to tcgs.co/tcgscon to grab your ticket. We're on Patreon, as mentioned in the beginning, so there'll be a Patreon bonus show out in the coming days, and we're working to confirm a date for the Games Master Gore special, which will be our Patreon talks over for this month. In terms of streaming, Sea of Friends is this Thursday, isn't it, Sean? Who's
no,
on the...
this is
who's
the one, on... So this has already happened.
Oh, of
so
course,
Tuesday.
Yes, sorry.
Yeah, so you're listening to this, you've already missed it. So yeah, I'm doing it tomorrow or yesterday by the time you hear this, with Ian Lee. He's done the tutorial, and he's really worried that he's going to be rubbish at the game. I have pointed out to him that, was it last week or the week before, with an experienced crew, we still fucked up and didn't finish the thing we were going to do. So it doesn't matter. It's fine. Maybe this will be the week that actually another ship actually starts on us and there's a bit of a tussle. But for some reason, that hasn't really happened yet. There was just that one where we just got bombarded as soon as we set off. And then that was kind of the end of it. We'll see.
Yeah, hopefully someone kicks off. That would be quite fun. So that is Sea of Friends, but it's already happened by the time you're listening to this. no James Farley stream this week. But James, you did Mario Tour Die on Friday. How was that?
I did, and I did generally enjoy it. I just wish that I hadn't done. I mean, I'm such a child. I've got to stop doing this. I did shots after every time I died, and it got progressively worse as it went on. But it was still reasonably enjoyable. I mean, I think it is a series that I'm going to return to, but not as like an every week thing. I think I'm going to mix it up a bit, maybe.
Because it's actually
Mario
quite,
and Sonic.
There's not. Oh, sorry, go on.
Yeah, I was going to say you've done Mario and Sonic. What else could you do?
Well, I was thinking of doing Streets of Rage. I mean, there's only four of them, but it's still I can get quite far in those without dying. So it could last for quite a long time, I think. So I'm thinking about doing that as the next one. That could be quite good.
It's a very good idea, but there's only so many series you can do it on, isn't there?
Yeah.
So I appreciate you wanting to ration it out.
Especially because, I mean, somebody said, like, why don't you do, like, Castlevania Till I Die, but that's there's no point because, like, the first two are really hard games, and there's it'll be death, like, instantly, nearly. It's might as well do Dark Souls until you die. You know, it's
that would
work.
Be funny.
Yeah, that would be great. Oh yeah, or just Soulsborne till I die, and you do, you know, Demon Souls, Dark Souls, Sekiro.
Yeah, like with the years of experience you now have, I think you'd be surprised to see how far you can make it through like the original Dark Souls without dying now.
Probably, but then there's all like the cutscenes at the beginning and all the tutorials and all that kind of stuff. You know, it's not very immediate is the problem.
Yeah, but that gives you time to maybe have a cocktail every time you die. So you can be making a cocktail whilst the cutscenes are happening, and then Different cocktail every time. That'd be good, wouldn't it?
Yeah. Oh, imagine if we all, like, we had a studio and we live nearby. I'd make James cocktails while he's streaming.
Oh, that'd
We'd
be brilliant.
We have two cameras.
I'd love that.
I'd be in the kitchen, like, right, here's a, you know, porn star martini. Off you go, James. Like, oh, he's dead again. Right, come on, what else could we do?
So I can hear you mixing it, like, in the background.
Yeah.
Yeah, maybe it'd be like Bell's Kitchen Till I Die. although that just implies Sean's just keep feeding, feeding James to it,
alcohol
to end poorly.
Yeah.
Anyway, if you missed those streams, the both ones we mentioned, good search for TCGS on YouTube. The videos will be on there. If you've got Amazon Prime, you've got Twitch Prime Gaming, connect your Twitch account with your Amazon account, you get one free sub a month. We appreciate it massively if you do. Loads of people did it for episode 300, and these things don't renew, so please go over if you've done it in the past and go over and do it again. We really appreciate that. Epic Game Store, if you're buying V-Bucks or stuff for Rocket League on console or PC, enter the creator code TCGS check out and we get a small kickback. And tcgs.co is a website for links to our Discord, social stuff, podcasts, you name it, it's all on there.
Cool. And what's happening next week?
We've got a guest. Got Imogen Meller joining us on the show. She's a features producer at PC Gamer. I'm sure everyone listening to this knows, but features producer at PC Gamer, does loads of streams. Seems like an all-round good egg. So, yeah, Imogen Meller on the show with us next week. Really looking forward to that.
Yeah, man. Totally. Right. Cool. We're done. That's it. That's your lot. We are going to... Yeah, so we said, didn't we? Yeah, we're going to get the bonus show out soon-ish.
Bonus show this week and then the TCGS talks over, like the Patreon stuff will be the week after that, but there'll be emails going out to Patreon supporters about that stuff, so don't worry about it.
Cool. Nice one. Right, thanks for listening. It's been quite, I mean, considering none of us have played anything and I talked about one game I didn't like and one that I've only played for 2 hours, I think we've done all right.
I need to find my next game. That's what I need.
You do. You'll find it. It's out there somewhere.
If I just look hard enough, it's out there.
Thanks for letting us be natural. See you next week. Ta-ra.
Bye, everyone.
Goodbye.
Wow.